The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 156. Solid 156 here. Not a point one.
Oh, is that a Spider-Man joke?
Yeah. Yeah. The solid 156. So this is the real show. John is here.
I am here.
We are no longer torturing anybody.
Yes.
We'll get to all of that and lots of stuff to get to in this show. So, John, I truly, every week I say I'm excited to get into the store. Into the show, into the store, whatever you want to call it.
Into the store, both.
Please, John, let me in the store. I can't wait to get in there.
All right, doors open, man.
Oh, all right, let's go.
Red carpet is down, doors open.
Come
on in.
Nice.
I took the chain off the gate.
All right, let's get into the store. No, I messed that all up. Oh, well.
Out of practice.
I am.
See what happens when you get a week off.
Exactly. I hit the wrong button for the sound there. So we still got the bell. I'm in the store. You can hear the crowd's going crazy here.
It's going wild.
I'm not kidding you. I couldn't wait to get here. We've got a lot of stuff to get to in the news, and I believe this is what a lot of people do, is what I'm about to do here, and basically how this, as we'll talk about in a minute, how this show has evolved into this, two guys hanging out in a store. I've been away since Friday, and
okay.
I was able to take in a little bit of Disney Plus, but there's been a lot of news dropping, a lot of stuff, and I've been up in the mountains, so I am literally here in the store to talk to an actual comic book store owner about all the news. I can't wait to hear about it. I know headlines. I know stories. I'm very excited for a bunch of stuff.
Well, we all know I only go to the headlines, so if you're looking for more, you're probably not going to get it here.
So I'm kind of screwed because I'm the one that brings the depth. Oh, should I roll that episode out next? You want to get to that one quick? Issue number 156, last week's show, which was issue number one, Solo, a Star Wars story. Yeah. You're like, oh yeah. John, if we go missing for a week, people ask. And I love it. You know, we both do. You're like, hey, it's great to be appreciated. People are like, where'd you guys go? Is everything okay? If we don't, and that's why I put the show out.
Right.
So I drop a show and I'm like, you know what? We haven't done this. We haven't, I said it in last week's podcast. We haven't played that in a while. And after listening back, I see why. But, you put out something like that and for a few laughs and we do have a mailbag. And I was expecting to get, a few snide comments. But what did we get? We got nothing.
None, huh?
Nothing. No.
Well, that either nobody listened.
Or, what I actually prefer, which is a scary thing? All of our listeners were taught the same thing that we were taught growing up. If you don't have anything nice good to say, don't say anything at all.
That's probably true.
So there you go. Solo, a Star Wars story. Yeah. Issue number one. Before it even went out, I told Joe that that's what I was doing, like the day before. My son, Joe. Yeah. And he goes, why? Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
He goes, I told you when it came out the first time. I didn't even understand it, and I know what you were talking about. And I was like, he had remembered, and I didn't have a clue what he was talking about until I heard it back. And that, remember, I completely forgot we had that entire idea. It was my idea. It was a bad idea. But remember, go to the movies, see the movie, pretend we're at the movies, then see the movie on DVD. And we were actually, our original plan, believe it or not, this is how stupid and involved we were. It was, we'll go, when movies come out, we'll record an episode when they come out in the theater and save that, put that in the can. Then when it comes out on Blu-ray, we'll review it again. And then we'd put it all together and put it out as a podcast. So we were going to start, and I think we did Solo, and we were like, we picked a movie that had just come out on Blu-ray, I think. And we pretended we saw it at the theater, and we were trying to, and Joe was like, why are you talking about this twice?
Yeah.
And we were like, we very quickly evolved from that. It didn't,
we did.
It didn't work.
It wasn't, we did.
It wasn't even a good idea, bad execution. It was just bad idea, and actually it was good execution of a bad idea.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that it's nice to hear that you're not sitting in the corner anymore.
Yeah, that was, the audio was rough there too. Well, I was at my kitchen table.
Right. I was in my theater. You were at your kitchen table, and it was... I didn't know anything about audio levels, anything about what I'm doing, what we do now. And it, it was funny.
It was rough. Honestly, I couldn't even get through it, and I was on it. So
I don't know
how anybody else got through it.
Right.
I did about 15 minutes and I was done. So
I got to the part where we started talking again about the movie and I stopped. Because I was like, oh, yeah. This is
See, I didn't even remember we did that because I didn't get that far.
Right. I didn't think
Once we got past the intro and started talking about the movie, it wasn't actually even that bad.
No.
Because then we were just talking about the movie.
Right.
But
the intro, all of that,
the intro,
we were so stiff. We were so like, okay, this is what I got to say. And it,
well, and you're reading
I was
that
reading
monologue
it because,
at the
right.
beginning.
I know. And it was so bad. And you're like, how many takes did we do that?
Yeah.
That was
probably,
the other part.
Yeah, and that was the best one of the bunch. So, if that says anything, that's the one that made it to air.
Right. And I remember I worked hours on that thing, too, to produce it. Hours on that piece of crap.
Now it's like we hit stop and upload.
Upload and done. It's, a little bit different. And I don't think we're... I think all it is being comfortable.
Yeah.
And I remember, for instance, that one in that podcast, I said Star Wars came out in 78. And when I heard that back, I it went right through because I know it's 77.
Did I correct you on?
Yes.
I think I corrected you on
did.
Air. Yeah,
yeah you did. And I left it in, but I wanted to take it out. But you know what's funny is I tried to take it out. But I couldn't take it out and not have it sound like it was taken out. So I just like, you know what? Leave it in there. And what you come to find out in podcasting or anything when you do stuff like this is we all make mistakes. Who cares?
Yeah. Correct and move on.
Correct and move on and just keep going and just forget about it. And it's fun when the listeners interact too. You make a mistake and the listeners interact, you know, you have, and that's fun. But I was so nervous when in your first podcast, you're like, there goes all my credibility.
Right.
Well, I didn't have any yet. So.
Yeah, right. I haven't built up any. So
right.
It's hard to lose it.
Right. But yeah, listening to that back was rough. And so. All right.
We apologize.
Yeah, we apologize. But it's funny. It's fun. And like we keep saying, that Wonder Woman one that never will see the light of day was worse.
Yep.
Far worse. There's a Solo out there that's worse.
Well, I'm sure.
All right. Let's get to... There's one thing I want to touch on before we start getting to everything. Obviously, we're going to talk Disney Plus. But I wanted to get to... And even before we get to Real World, is this whole Disney Plus and IMAX Enhanced thing.
Uh-huh.
Because... Yes, we have a bunch of listeners that come over from home theater, and most of them, obviously, they all know what IMAX Enhanced is, but I think for the comic, the normal comic book fan, the normal Disney Plus fan, I don't think everybody really understands what IMAX Enhanced means to full. Hopefully by now, it's been out since Friday. Actually, I got it Thursday here.
I think it was earlier than that.
Yeah, you're right. Or Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
And people were talking about it, and then I got home on Thursday and I watched it. But at what you see on Disney Plus right now is obviously that expanded aspect ratio.
Right.
And very similar to what Nolan did in The Dark Knight. And that was the first one that did it. And then he also did it in Dark Knight Rises as well. But there's a few other movies that do it too. But IMAX Enhanced, IMAX cameras, for it, anyways, when you film something like that, then you open it up and you don't have that what's called CinemaScope, the widescreen. So it kind of takes away the black bars at the top and the bottom. But IMAX Enhanced is actually, that's like 3 years old, I think. If you remember, we talked about it way, way back when it came out, because this is what I was looking forward to when it was first announced.
Isn't this kind of pseudo IMAX Enhanced too? Because this doesn't require any special equipment.
Nope. No, like, I was going to get to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. So when IMAX Enhanced was announced 3 years ago, it meant they were going to put out discs, which they have. Venom is in it. Venom comes out IMAX Enhanced.
Zombie Lands, right?
Both come out in it. And what it means is it gets if you have to what John was just saying about the hardware. So it's software enabled. So if you have the disc and you have a TV or a receiver or a display device that's all IMAX Enhanced, it means it will automatically, from disc to display and everything in between, it will set your parameters for you. Right. So it will set your TV to the correct settings for the best image automatically if it's an IMAX Enhanced TV. And a lot of Sony's are. Sony's very big into this.
Yep.
And also with the sound. So if you have an IMAX Enhanced receiver, it will set up your sound and so that you get the best DTS:X. There's also rumors that it actually bumps up your height channels if you have height channels in your theater or living room or wherever. So those are your in-ceiling speakers. But in the case of Disney Plus, all it is for now is that aspect ratio.
Right.
Okay. But they will be getting, which is kind of fun, they're going to be getting DTS:X, a streaming version of DTS:X on Disney Plus. And in the home theater world, to me, this is a big deal because right now the top dog in sound is Dolby Atmos, which is great. IMAX Enhanced or DTS:X and Dolby or DTS and Dolby, they all do the same things. The artist on the other side, it's just a tool in the artist's toolbox, right?
Right.
Usually in DTS:X, they try to bump it up to compete with and make it seem fuller. I won't get into all of that. But that coming to Disney Plus is going to be a lot of fun because now we're going to be getting a different sound version for these movies. They haven't announced when that's going to be. But getting these IMAX Enhanced versions, getting the larger aspect ratio, it gives you a fuller picture where so when you go to an IMAX movie, you're supposed to be seeing a tall screen.
Right.
But what's really nice for us is all of our TVs are this 16:9. It's getting rid of those black bars.
It's basically making it 16:9 on your display.
And you're getting you're getting a much fuller picture. And if you actually, what's fun about Disney Plus is you can choose which version you want, the cinematic version or the IMAX Enhanced. And when you pause the movie and then go back and change the version, it starts the movie right where you paused it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you can go back and forth. So I tweeted out on my home theater Twitter last week, the first image I tweeted out was it's the picture of Chris Hemsworth, and he's like kind of locked up. It's at the beginning of Infinity War, and that little scene, the big opening scene with Thanos. And in the cinematic version, you got the black bars at the top and the bottom, and the top of his head is cut off.
Right.
IMAX enhanced, when you switch directly to it, it goes, you're not losing anything. You're actually gaining picture above him and below him. So you see his whole head. So it's, you're actually losing in the cinematic version. So it's, all of this is to say, I mean, it just makes it that much more fun, giving us that much more and making us like, oh, I want to see this on Disney Plus.
Right.
You can't get these anywhere else right now.
Right. And can I tell you how many people I've seen complaining about it on Facebook for something they got absolutely free?
Free. And you don't
it's
have to watch
content.
It. You don't have to watch
but
it.
But it's a free upgrade. It's free content. Free.
But
and
they don't understand
are complaining
it.
About
right.
it.
They don't understand it.
Yeah, it's like, okay, here's something for free that's better than what you had, and let me complain about it. Because it's not what they thought it was, because, you know, it's not doing the sound, and it's not doing the settings, and, you know, it's not doing, like, IMAX enhanced, like what you talked about earlier, and people are complaining about it. And it's like, it's better than what you had and what you were getting, and it's, you didn't have to pay anything extra to get it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, you just can't make anybody happy, but...
So, this is a quote from an article, and what's funny is the headline of the article says sound and vision, so it's kind of deceiving because it makes it sound like it comes from the magazine Sound and Vision, but it doesn't. I won't give you who it comes from, and I'm not giving you the author because I think he's a donkey, and I don't want... I'm not trying to disparage the actual person, just the content of his article.
Right.
Here's the headline. I'm sorry. The headline was IMAX Enhanced is great, but it's a little too late now. That's a gist of the headline. Anyways, here's a paragraph from it that I read in my podcast, my home theater podcast this morning. It says, while it's great that IMAX Enhanced content is there, it's taken much longer than it really needed. There doesn't appear to be any technical hurdles to leap over, and the overall feeling I get is that Disney parses out content to keep streamers engaged and ensure it doesn't lose them. This guy's a friggin' genius.
So is Netflix doing that? Or, like, so far,
it's
Disney's
just
the only
dawning
one
on
it.
Him now that they parse out the content. Like, do you really think these movies are like, we get them the minute they're done?
Right.
Like, all right, what do we got to put out this week, Bob? Do we got it? No. I think WandaVision might be done next week. All right, we'll do that next week, I guess. All right, back to work. It's so stupid.
Well,
I'm like, these people...
It's too
like,
late for what? Like...
Right.
So is it better if they just never started?
Well, no.
And then...
What he's saying is...
I know, but
the article's
like, a little
like,
too late.
Why did they wait so long? Because they had a bunch of stuff to... This is literally their second anniversary.
Right.
And in every anniversary, they have changed the landscape of streaming. And that's not an understatement. Right? And now all of a sudden, this donkey, it's like, it's a little too late. I'm getting the feeling that they're only doing this to keep people paying, you know. No kidding!
Well, and again, HBO Max is not doing it. Netflix is not doing it. Like, nobody else is even doing it at all.
There is a rumor that IMAX Enhanced will be going to Netflix as well, because this actually couples with an article I read a couple of weeks ago that IMAX Enhanced was getting into streaming. And when I read that article, I was like, ooh, I was hoping for an IMAX Enhanced, like, streaming service.
Right.
Where we would get all of the, because they have some spectacular discs, and they do, they look spectacular. But that's what I was hoping for. Then this drops, and I'm like, oh, I see what they're doing. They're getting into streaming, and they're going to start putting these movies out, which is fantastic. Black Panther is, a bunch of them are, or most of them are variable aspect ratios, as I said.
Right.
Right. Three of them are not. Three of them are fully IMAX enhanced. Infinity War and Endgame. And those two were the first two to be fully shot in IMAX. First Marvel movies fully shot in IMAX. And Shang-Chi is also in a, fully in IMAX. So on when you buy the disc, it won't, it'll have the black bars and at the top and the bottom.
Right.
As far as I know, there hasn't been any. We in the States
well,
haven't
it's that
done
way
it.
With Endgame and you and Infinity War. So
right.
I would imagine it will be with Shang-Chi as well.
Yes. The only other one, like, I think the first Ant-Man and I know Avengers, it looks like it's IMAX enhanced, but it's not. That's just a different aspect ratio, and it wasn't shot in IMAX, but it takes up pretty much the entire 16:9 screen.
Right.
But watching those movies, like Infinity War, I sat down just to watch the opening scene, 12 o'clock Thursday night. I'm still sitting there. Watch. I finished it. It is that much different. It looks really? That good.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched a single bit of it yet. But
it's awesome.
I just haven't had a chance to get
I
to any.
I loved it. But it. But that's, I just want, like, for a lot of people out there, it's, I know, it's like, what is this IMAX and
yeah, I know, thing? I need to change my shirt to my home theater, break sure. that home theater shirt, yeah.
Right.
I think we're in the wrong podcast.
Yeah, I know, no. No, but I mean, I haven't even gotten into all the home theater stuff, but that yeah. that's the 13 movies going to IMAX enhanced, and you get to choose. Yeah, and I highly recommend checking that out, especially Infinity War, Endgame, and Shang-Chi, and then jump around and you'll be able to see what I'm exactly what I'm talking about. But it changes the way they look, and it's yeah. it's a lot of fun. And the Black Panther one, they actually, I wanted to talk about that, is when they go into Wakanda at the opening of Black Panther, mm-hmm. and you have him, Chadwick Boseman's, you know, he's looking at Wakanda and he goes, this never gets old. I tweeted this video out. And when they go into Wakanda, instead of the black bars just disappearing at the top and the bottom, they actually pan open like you're going yeah. in. It looks really, really nice. They did a really, most of them are just like, they jump the scene. They, you know, it's a cut right. scene. Just, and now all of a sudden, like in Dark Knight, now all of a sudden you just have the full screen filled.
Right.
But in this one here, and I tweeted it out last week, and the video looks really cool of him just, the ship is going in and the black bars just slowly pan away, and it looks really cool. So
cool.
I liked how they did that. They also did that in Mandalorian as well. Season 2 of Mandalorian, they did the same
thing. Yeah, I remember that.
But, all right, that was it for my home theater moment, but... It is a big Disney Plus thing, and I know a lot of our people are listening and watching that stuff. So, all right, before we get to the next thing, I didn't even get to, how's the store been going? How are things going?
It's going fine. Yeah.
You had a little conversation with Dr. Joe about your, about books and, what do you call that? Shipping issues and
well, I mean, that's been ongoing. We've talked about it a few times already. You know, we're in the middle of a global paper shortage, so
yeah,
it affects periodicals and books.
How is it affecting you, really, though? Like, not, I'm not saying it isn't, I literally don't know.
Well, there's like nothing available to order. Like, pretty much you're getting first run stuff. Like when,
right.
like new graphic novels are coming out, but they're not
printing
going back
old
to
stuff.
Press with anything that's catalog. So there's just like giant chunks of things that are out of stock and not available to order. You know, manga is the number one thing right now that's just, like decimated. There's like
right.
nothing available, and manga is a, you know, for me is a big seller, you know, and I can't get a hold of the stock that I need to fill the shelves. And you know, it's the same way with, like, you know, what I would call evergreen or essential graphic novels, something like Civil War or Killing Joke or some, you know, Hush,
yeah,
just things that are just always in stock. Watchmen, you know, things that have been selling for 30 years and still sell, you know, all the time. They're just not available. You can't get them. So I'm in a position to where whatever I sell, I'm selling out of, and I just know that now I'm out of stock on that.
Right.
For an indefinite period of time. And it's also affecting, you know, new comics. Like, comics are being delayed, comics are being pushed, and they're being canceled. You know, releases are slowing down again. Like, the last 2 weeks have been, like, COVID weeks with releases. Like, there's just hardly anything coming out. You know, there's, like, 9 books from Marvel and, you know, 9 books from DC. I mean, it's just, like, really slowed down. There's things I think they could be doing to manage the situation better, but nobody's asking me for my opinion. So, you know, at least when it comes to comics, like, I'm not sure what they can do in the case of, like, backlist stuff, but, you know, I own a comic book store, so, you know, this sounds going to sound weird, but, you know, let's just be honest. Like, there's just a ton of really crap comic books that come out every single week.
Yeah.
You know, just books that don't need to be coming out. And why we're still printing these books when we could just be doubling down on
the sellers,
the Venoms and the X-Men and the Batmans. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, do we need, you know, file copy reprints of Marvel Tales number 87 or, you know, whatever it is.
Like, right.
There's things they could be doing to make it better, but, you know, do we need 27 covers on, you know, Vampirella, Dracula, Unholy, or something, you know, that's getting ready to come out? Yeah, I mean, there's just lots of things that seem to be wasting the paper that's precious.
Yeah.
When, you know, when it could be going other places. But, you know, that's just ongoing. And, I mean, it's going to be an issue for the foreseeable future. Like, it's not going to get any better anytime soon. So, and it's affecting supplies, bags and boards, like, you know, comic boards or paper. And so they're hard to get, and they're twice as expensive as they used to be when you can get them. And, you know, there's just a lot of things happening that aren't going to resolve quickly. So, I don't know what the answer is to all of that, but, you know, being in a business where, you know, 80% of what I sell is paper, you know, like, it's going to affect board games. It's going to affect card games. It already, you know, Pokemon is already, like, you know, a pack of Pokemon is like a brick of gold these days, you know? So, it's really affecting everything that I do as a business. So it's challenging, to say the least.
Yeah. And especially in, like, where they're periodicals, it's not like you can adjust the price for the lack of demand. You know, not lack of demand, but lack of
content. Supply.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, that's tough. It's tough.
It's really good. It's, like I said, it's really difficult. And it is, you know, it is becoming an issue. You know, like, people were scoffing at it 6 months ago. Like, oh, what do you mean paper shortage or whatever? But it's, like, a real thing. So,
right. Well, a lot of people aren't in that business. So they just, you know, and, like, I go to work.
And again, paper's universal, right? Like, so are we going to print comic books, or are we going to make paper towels and toilet paper? Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's.
Right.
There's other industries that use paper besides mine, and arguably more important than mine. So, these are, at the end of the day, luxury items. You know, paper towels, toilet paper are not luxury items. So,
I got to imagine on the other end, though, the cost of paper is going up. So they're getting hit in the wallet too. That, you know, just to make these books, the margins have got to be getting smaller.
Everything's going up. Well, the thing is, it's getting passed on. You know, your cover prices are going up
on
everything. So, you know, you're starting to see there's almost no $2.99 books anymore. Everything's at least $3.99.
Right.
Most books are $4.99, and a bunch of them are $5.99 and $6.99, where a year ago you weren't seeing prices quite that high regularly, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah, you'll see them on, like, a Black Label expanded or something. But, yeah.
But I think outside of Spawn, which is still $2.99 a month, that is the last remnant of $2.99 comics. I can't think of another book that's that low. And, you know, a year ago, all of DC was $2.99. 2 years ago, maybe, you know. So
right. Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, we're saying the same thing in home theater, and like, how are we going to get people back in the theaters and stuff? And right. the same idea is like, you trim the fat. And right. like you kind of just said about books, like, why are we printing these, no offense, crap books, wasting right. paper on that? When people, as at the inflated price, people aren't going to pay for that. They weren't paying for right. these books when they were $2.99. Right.
Exactly.
So why don't we, if we're going to pay a premium, let's put out premium books. And that's what we're saying in the theaters too. It's like, look, you want to get people back, stop putting crap movies and just only show right. the big blockbusters in these rooms. And that's it.
Right.
And it, like, almost a lot of people are saying, like, theaters, theater wise, the big Cineplexes may be gone. Like, it'll come back to, like, when we were kids and it was one or two cinemas at a time, you know, screens at a time, and right. that boosts demand. I follow a guy on home theater, and all he does is he puts out old images of movie theaters and the people waiting in line and stuff. And
right.
you think of when we used to go to the movies in Franklin, and it was one screen when we were really young.
Yep.
And you had to wait in line, and you'd be waiting in line down the sidewalk to go in, and people coming out from the preview, because there was nowhere to go inside. There was no lobby. It was you walked in and you were in the theater. There was a concession stand on one side, and then that was like a little hallway on your way to the room itself. But the demand, and you see, like, oh, look at how popular these movies were. It's like, well, I'd say movies are more popular now. There's just more space for us to go into.
Right. Because that's the whole thing. You had to wait till that movie came to your town.
Right.
Because you only had one screen. And maybe it was one movie at 7 and a different movie at 9. But in most cases, it was the same movie.
Right.
So you only got one or two movies at a time ever in that theater.
Yep.
And so if you wanted to see it, you had to go. Because the next week, the next Friday, it might be gone. Something else might be there. So you didn't have the luxury of waiting around or day and date releases and watching it at home and all of that stuff. So
so you created demand. It's like, right. I mean, I remember when Bob Kraft built Gillette Stadium, and they had been selling out like crazy at the old Foxborough Stadium.
Right.
And they were like, why are they only building 60,000 seats? And he answered, he's like, we're not going to be selling out forever. And he right. goes, you can build a 100,000 seat stadium. Everybody wanted that. They're like, let's build the right. biggest one ever. And you're like, yeah. And that's 40,000 more people right. that you have to get a sellout. And it's like, no, that's how you create demand. And it's, right. It should be a luxury item. It should be a privilege to get to go there, you know? And the same with these theaters, and the same with these books. It's like, stop. Let's get it to the point where you're like, yes, I'm psyched to get this book. And then,
right.
yeah. And then you're going to pay a premium for it. And that, it helps alleviate a lot of that stuff. So.
Well, and again, you know, there's a paper shortage. So does Spider-Man need to be a weekly book? You know what right. I mean?
It's like, no. Yeah.
It is just ridiculous.
Well,
you know,
if people are buying it, then yes. Because no. if you take it away and you put that, if you put, utilize that paper on something else, it depends on how it's selling. You know, like, I know what you're saying, but what if you take that and put it on a book that doesn't sell?
People are slaves to Spider-Man because people are, you know,
yeah.
no offense, but people are cheap, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to keep buying Spider-Man because they're forcing me to buy it every week. But, you know, again, if you want the more diversity in your offerings, well, then, you know,
don't be more
make
diverse.
This a weekly book, right?
right.
you know, it, again, we joke that that DC is essentially just Batman comics, but Marvel's no better. Marvel right. is just Spider-Man comics. You know, I mean, it might as well be the name each company.
Well, yeah,
that's all they print,
right? And they lean into it. They have no problem with that as long as it's right. selling. They have no problem leaning into it. You know, and I don't blame them. You know, it's
Right, but when you can carte blanche to print right. anything you want in any quantities, then that's fine.
Right.
But when you don't have that, you know, maybe some of these decisions don't make as much sense.
Right.
So,
yep. But all right.
2 cents on that. But
yeah. And that's been the bright side business minute.
I know it. It's like, I think we're an hour in. Like, if we even started the show yet.
No, but let's start the show with something that we've been needing to talk about. We'll open the show. Well, we'll continue the show with Eternals.
Okay.
All right. Now, we're going to get into this in Kryptonite.
Okay.
Hopefully. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Well, me too, but I remember enough to talk about it.
I remember it. Let me ask you straight up, spoiler free, beginning of the show, spoiler free. What did you think?
It's mid-tier Marvel. What I think.
Okay.
It's not Endgame or Infinity War, but it's also not Iron Man 3 or Thor Dark World. You know, I mean, it was good, not great, is the way I felt about it. Like,
right.
It had a lot of fat. Like, it was long, and it could have been trimmed.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it. Like,
yes.
Ultimately, I enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was good. I've said it before. You would have had to go a long, long way to disappoint me with this movie because I have no expectations of these characters.
Right.
It's just the way I felt about Guardians going into the first Guardians movie. Had no expectations. It's not like I'm going to see a Batman movie where I expect to see XYZ or whatever. I don't even know the names of most of the Eternals. So
right.
It would have had to been pretty bad for me to be disappointed. And I wasn't. Like, ultimately, I felt like they did a good job. Everybody had their screen time. Every character was developed. I mean, Marvel is getting pretty good at the large ensemble movies. But, you know, you had... you had 10 main heroes, plus a couple of side characters. So, I mean, there was a lot of moving parts here. And I don't feel like anybody was neglected. I don't think anybody was underdeveloped. I think everybody was represented. So, ultimately, I thought it was good.
Yeah. So I would say the exact same thing. I would put it mid-level at 2.5 hours, I believe.
Yeah, 2:40, actually, I think
something
it
like
was.
That. Yeah. And you said, and I'd like to get into this in Kryptonite, is like you said they could trim some fat off of it. I disagree with that. I actually am hoping for an extended version because...
Well, you always are.
True. No, but in this case, I have a reason for it other than just my pure like pleasure of sitting down to watch these movies.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I like going through them. Like, obviously, Infinity War, Endgame, those are long movies.
They are.
They're not typically, they don't lend themselves to rewatchability. Because they're so long. Obviously, as I said, with IMAX Enhanced, it's like a new movie to me, so that's not a problem. But eventually that gets old too. Whereas Avengers, which is shorter, that's only like 2 hours.
Right.
Nice, tight movie. It's to me, that's one of my favorite Marvel movies because it's so rewatchable. Doesn't mean it's the best Marvel movie, but it's so rewatchable. This movie, on the other hand, I feel like as this movie was going on, I didn't feel like it was 2 hours and 40 minutes because I was so into the movie itself.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed because I didn't know anything about Eternals. And I thought it did a really good job at giving you enough information and, like you said, developing the characters so that you were like, oh, wow, okay. All right, this... You thought Thanos was bad? You thought that was hopeless at times? You thought the snap of a finger was going to be bad? Holy cow. What is the world, what is the universe into, you know, for? And I thought the overall story arc from beginning to end was really good. And as you said, Marvel's getting very good at doing these ensemble casts. This is actually an ensemble ensemble origin story.
Yeah.
Like, literally, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in spoilers because you, of what you find out, but it's like, it's literally at the beginning of this movie, it's their origin. And then you go through the years because they're eternal. Right. And it's, I found that fascinating. And all the information they gave you, I thought the historical stuff going out, that's not a spoiler. I mean, they're eternal. They go through time. So I thought that was great. And how that's going to play out, I thought some of the acting was a little wonky at times, especially at the beginning. It's you've seen it in the posters, in the trailers, and they all come walking at you in the flying V formation. I was like,
yeah.
Now, do they rehearse that before they get off their ship? Like, what was that? I thought that was like, who does that in real life? You know, you're like, all right, everybody spread out. You know, we want to have that. You touch fingers, put your hands down, and everybody stands slightly cockeyed. You on the left, you're going the wrong way. Shift to the right. You know, like, what the? I thought that looked weird, but it played because it plays because of their characters and who they are. They are wonky people.
They are
supposed to act that way.
Yeah.
And that's what you found out as the movie went along. So I really enjoyed it. But like you said, it's like, it's not one of the, it's not in the top third. It's not in the bottom third, but right in the middle third, I guess. I haven't really looked at all of the movies where I would put it.
I haven't looked to rank it either, but like I said, it was good.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, in the middle.
I'll tell you that I didn't find, and you know how much you, Guardians is one of your favorite movies. It's not one of my favorite movies. I didn't find it as entertaining as the Guardians movies, as far as an ensemble, beginning. Right. But I found it to be the most one of the most informative Marvel movies. Like, that's what entertained me. That's what I found, like, intriguing the entire time. It's probably the most intriguing movie I've seen, is a better way to put it. Marvel movie, because almost all the other ones I knew something about them, with the exception of Guardians. And with this one, I just wanted to learn more, and that's why I said, I'm like, hey, I wouldn't mind an extended edition where they give you a little bit more information, a little bit more background story, and a little bit more where this could be going or whatever. But I thought it was good the way it was. I thought if you cut anything out of it, you'd be like, well, that something doesn't make sense. I felt like it all kind of needed to be there.
I just felt like some of the flashbacks was extraneous, you know?
Yeah.
I can't think of specific scenes that I would cut. Like, I don't have any notes, what I would take in and out. And it's not even so much that the length of it in general. Like, I don't have a problem watching a long movie if it's tight from start to finish.
Right.
But, you know, I just felt like some of the flashback stuff wasn't 100% necessary. But, you know, every movie I've seen in the last two months has been 3 hours long, you know, between Dune and James Bond and this one. And then Spider-Man coming up is 2:45 or something like that.
Is it really?
So I guess we forgot how to make movies that are only 2 hours, you know,
because
everything that I've seen lately has been long.
You know why? I'm wondering if this is the case. You know what we were just saying about books? They used to try to cut these movies to 2 hours so they could get more people to go.
Well, that's the thing. So you can squeeze another showing in.
Right. Nobody's going.
Right.
Might as well fill it up. Like, might as well give them that, you know, get them in there more, sell more popcorn.
But that's the thing. You know, you cut,
I wonder
that,
if
you
that
cut
has
40
to do
minutes
with it.
Out and you can, you know, you can get another showing or two per day based on that time. So,
well, because, and that's the other thing. I'll bet you before, to the idea of, so let me get my thoughts in order here. Back when Endgame came out, there were a bunch of other movies coming out that week. Most of the big ones would avoid it. Right, you're not gonna release. Right. I think I want to say Wonder Woman was supposed to come out that year, and it moved a year to get away from it.
Yeah,
boy,
not even.
Boy, did that pay off?
Not even a couple weeks, but a year.
A year, and you know that kind of backfired on them, just a little bit. But They so a
well,
bunch
it,
of
it backfired because it was a bad movie, not because they moved it. Let's just be fair about that.
Well, yeah. Imagine if they'd come out with Endgame. Yeah. Everybody would have been like, what the hell was that?
But yeah, it didn't backfire because of the timing.
But there was a time when the two of them may have come out together.
Right.
Okay. There
and
was
then that would have been glaring difference.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a glaring difference. But my point is, when it comes to the theater itself, so my local Cineplex has 14 screens.
Right.
So you're going to have Endgame on four or five of them, right? And then maybe if Wonder Woman hadn't backed out, they would have been on four or five of them. So right. You need those. And the idea, obviously, Endgame was 3 hours, so they don't care. But when they shorten it to two, it's so they can get, like you said, additional showings. Well, now Eternals comes out. What else came out that way? How many other? They've got extra theaters. So they're just filling up. They could put Eternals into seven theaters. Right. And they'll get all their showings that they want if the demand is there. But the demand isn't there right now. So right. why would they edit out for content for time, you know? So I wonder if that has anything to do with it, because it's like you just said, it's like I didn't even think of it until you said it. Like everything coming out now is over 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So. And I just thought of this, too. We're also used to watching the last year and a half. We've been sitting home watching shows.
Right. 45 minutes, 30
45 to an hour long. Yeah. But it's a series like WandaVision. It's like a 5-hour movie,
right?
A 4-hour movie, right? And now they're putting out, you go to the movies, if they only give you 2 hours, you'd be like, what the hell was that? It was like 2 episodes. Right. that stunk. I need more. So I wonder if that has anything to do with the evolution here.
Good. I guess we'll have to see how it plays out going forward.
Yeah.
I mean, not every movie is going to be 2 hours and 45 minutes, but seems like there's been more of them lately.
Yeah.
More longer movies. I mean, Venom 2 wasn't that long, and that came out recently, too, so.
That's true. Yep. And that was nice. It was short. It was good. I got to go see it. Next week, I was going to have it done for this week. I wasn't able to get it done. But next week, we will definitely be talking No Time to Die.
Oh, because you're going to watch it at home?
Yeah, because I can rent it. Yeah, I can't
wait.
You can
voodoo it.
I can rent it for $19.99. And watch it in my theater, and I'm like, all right.
I don't even remember it anymore, so.
There you go. I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah.
Well,
you can tell me.
Yeah, that's what I just said. I'll tell you all about it. Yeah. So, all right. We'll touch on that in Kryptonite at the end. And so, all right, you ready to, what are we getting to next year? Mailbag?
Yeah.
I think mailbag. And I have a new graphic for the YouTube page. Oh, let's see. What do we got for mailbag here? I'm in the wrong one. There we go. This one here. This looks good. All right. Got a few. Like I said, nothing from last week's podcast. So, BJ Horton, 2005, Brightside_chat. I truly am enjoying going through those podcasts. I did feel like giving you a hard time and saying it's like listening to paint dry in Dolby. Bahaha. I'm glad you took that review well. That was hilarious. I'd say a rite of passage. Okay, that one was actually, he sent that to Brightside Chat, but that one was actually, he's talking about my home theater podcast.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, which one was he talking about?
Yeah.
Could have been either one.
My second review ever on home theater is the guy said.
About watching paint, like.
Yeah. He goes, the review on out, it's still there. It's still there. And I tell people about it all the time. I even put it on my website. I put all the reviews on my web. I don't care. And Joe had the best response to that when it happened. I go, look at this guy. And he goes, you said in your first episode, like most people are going to, your eyes are going to roll and they're going to fall asleep. I'm like, this isn't for you. Just move along, right. You know? But yeah, it's pretty funny. We have Theo, Top Notch Show. Ha, I'm having fun listening to you guys. Thank you. And talking about our Gunslinger podcast, issue number 50.
I was saying, I don't even remember what was the last show we did.
That was issue number 155, Gunslinger. Okay. BJ again, @brightside_chat. Sorry for all the tweets. Hey, no problem. Also, I would say for you, don't read Foundation. I enjoyed it, but liked the show better. When it comes to Dune, I say go for it. It won't hurt the movie experience. They are doing a good job. Also, there is some complicated stuff coming. I've heard that. What do you think? I don't know.
I was actually, I almost dug into it.
To Dune?
To Dune the other day because I'm kind of caught up on my reading. I don't have a series that I'm current, you know, a long series that I'm into. I don't have like my baseball games. Like I'm kind of at night, I'm kind of sitting with nothing to do.
Right.
So I almost jumped into Dune and I might still.
There you go.
Because I you know, this was going to come up in real world, but I, you know, I've rewatched Dune since the last show and
so good.
You know, I really feel like I'm picking up a lot. I picked up a lot the second time around. And again, we'll get to this a little bit later, but I read the comic, the prequel comic. So I'm kind of looking for more and I might just go ahead and, you know, bite the bullet and start reading the book. So
I don't know if I will, cause I'm not, I can read, I read a lot, but I'm not big into reading big, long stories like that.
Yeah. And it is a long one.
I know.
But
it, that's why I like movies.
Yeah.
I get to watch it. But this, to me, feels like, especially after seeing the first one, I'll go back to Lord of the Rings again. And when that came out, the people that read Lord of the Rings really enjoyed the movies because they got the experience. They knew a lot of the extra stuff that eventually came out in the extended versions, right? And I, because when I saw Lord of the Rings, I was lucky enough to go with somebody that like loves the books, watched, read the books all like multiple times. So every year we went to the midnight showing of whatever Lord of the Rings it was. And afterwards we would just hang out and talk about like what I didn't understand. And he would explain it all to me. Right. And I kind of feel like with the quality of movie that Dune is, they're on that same path. Like, I don't think the book is going to ruin it. It'll only enhance what you're getting in the movie.
Right. You know? Well, and it typically hasn't bothered me. Like, I've read a lot of books that I've seen the movies later on.
Yeah.
You know, I read all of Game of Thrones before I ever saw the show. Same thing with Lord of the Rings. You know, I've done it multiple times. So it's not like it doesn't take away anything for me. But usually I have read them well before the movies or TV shows have come out. In this case, since I started with the movies first, I figured I would go through those first and then go to the book later. But, you know, again, it's 2 years until the next book, until the next movie comes out. So not that I can't occupy myself with other things, but I'll probably go ahead and read the book. And then more than likely I'll read the next book too. So,
So, all right. Next up, Martin Anderson at Brightside_chat in Arkham Comics. Heard you talking about Doctor Who in issue number 155. Do you guys have a favorite Doctor episode? I do not. I haven't watched a first one yet.
I tweeted a whole bunch of things.
I know you
crickets
did.
Back, honestly. So I was like, disappointed, to be honest. Martin.
I didn't say any. Martin.
I gave you all this stuff and nothing came back. So
what did you say? Do you know?
I don't remember, but I did mention that my favorite doctor was David Tennant. I remember that. And then I went through and listed 7 or 8 of, you know, my favorite episodes. And I mean, I can remember a couple of them off the top of my head, but not all of them. But I was hoping for a little bit more. Well, I liked that one, but I liked this one too.
Yeah. A little back and forth.
Yeah. Nothing came of that. So
John's all excited. Somebody talk to me.
I know. Somebody talk Doctor Who with me. But yep. So if you're listening, I'm still interested in your responses.
Okay, so here it is. I got your you replied to him. I have it right here. It says,
I know Blink is always my number one because that's my favorite.
A few of my favorites are Blink, Vincent and the Doctor, and the Girl in the Fireplace.
Yep.
Also, Listen, Silence in the Library / Forest of the Dead, And the girl waited. LOL, there are too many. That's what you said.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and there's more.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's more.
Nice. Cool. All right. Let's see. Next one we got. Oh, Nick. Gotta disagree. It wasn't Lord of the Rings turnaround. I was citing filming Back to the Future Part 2 and 3. I'm concerned and I want the sequels quicker is all. So we're talking about how Dune's not coming fast enough for him, and it's coming in, like, it's literally coming in 2 years.
Yeah.
So the movies will be, like, less than Star Wars was. That's what we were saying.
Yeah.
And I believe what we were saying about Lord of the Rings.
We were thinking that those were the first ones to do it.
They were, because they filmed all of them together.
Right.
Back to the Future was only filmed together after the success of the first one.
Right.
That's completely different. They were like, hey, this made, because if you see the movies that made us, Back to the Future almost didn't get made.
Right.
That was one of those where, like, they were rewrites. There was a whole bunch of issues with that movie. Then they had the blockbuster money. They actually didn't have Michael J. Fox when they started that movie.
Right.
Who did they have? Oh, it's what's his name? He was in Pulp Fiction and he sold the heroin.
The mask guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say it was him, but and they had to let him go.
Oh, what's his name? I can't think of his name. The redhead.
Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm almost positive it was him. If it wasn't him, obviously it was somebody else.
It was somebody else.
Gonna go out on a limb there.
Yeah.
Let you know. Yeah. Hey, you know what, John? Disney releases stuff to keep you paying. And if it wasn't him, it was somebody else. But yeah, they had some, and they were already filming, and then they had to let him go, and then they brought in Michael J. Fox. Got him under contract. Yeah, that movie was a mess.
Oh, wow.
And then it was like, hey, look how great it is. He couldn't get out of Family Ties.
Yeah.
And when they finally got him, but it's like, so... But yeah, no, Nick, we all want them quicker. I wanted it to be a series, especially Dune.
Dune would be great as a one to two season series. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 10 episode, 1 to 2 season. Ooh, that would be fantastic. Yeah. Maybe someday. Also, maybe. Nick says, at Brightside_chat, finished the first 5 episodes of Night Stalker, watched the David Chase interview, and enjoyed episode 1 commentary. Didn't even know they did 2 movies before the series. I got to remedy that situation. I didn't even know what this was.
I don't know what it is either.
Yeah, I'll send you the link to it. I'll send you the thing.
I mean, it sounds familiar, Night Stalker, but...
Yeah, Darren McGavin, Night Stalker.
Oh, Kolchak.
Oh,
Kolchak, the Night Stalker. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was an old... It's an old... Older. I know what it is.
Yeah, it looks like Vegas, whatever happened. So, yeah, I have no idea what it is. I'll have to check that out. At Brightside_chat, did you dip your toe into the Dario Argento 4K releases? There seems to be great packaging and neat sounding extras. And no, I didn't. Didn't even know what that was. I think it's a series of horror movies. Cat of Nine Tails.
He's a director. I know he's a director.
Yeah.
I don't know specifically what movies he's made, but
yeah.
I've heard his name as far as I can go. So Suspiria, I want to say maybe.
You guys are way better with names than I am.
Let me see.
I like to see colors. Cat of Nine Tails, 4K, Dario Argento releases. And let's see, I'll read the next one. Well, then I got to ask favorite commentaries for a TV series. Brightside_chat. I'll go first. Homicide and Sports Night, but I'm a sucker for both shows. I love Sports Night, but go
Suspiria
ahead.
Suspiria is a 1977 Italian horror film by Dario Argento.
Okay.
I've never seen it, but I knew the name of it.
Not big into horror or Italian horror. So
I'm into horror, but I haven't
yeah,
seen
I haven't
those.
Seen those. Yeah, so commentary for TV series. I haven't watched a lot of commentary, but ironically, I did watch Sports Night's commentary. I loved that show. My dad and I watched that when it was out on TV. And then when the Blu-rays came out, my wife gave it to me. Blu-ray or DVD, but watching the commentary on that was that was probably the last TV series I watched the commentary on.
Oh yeah.
I don't do a lot of commentary anymore.
I don't do commentary on anything very often. It's not one of the things I do.
Oh.
But.
I don't get a lot of time to do it anymore. I used to do it a ton. I've said it to you before, like back before I had kids on Laserdisc. I loved that. That was one of the biggest features of Laserdisc because it was the only place you could get that stuff.
Right.
We didn't have internet for that information. You couldn't just look it up. So you got a lot of information through the commentaries. Nowadays, you can get that information almost anywhere.
Yeah. I remember watching that stuff for Star Wars.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It was Star Wars.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was never big on watching a lot of that stuff.
Right. Yeah. And when it came to TV shows, I've never really watched the commentary on that. But no. I would like to, but I just don't get the time to. I think this was a long time, a couple of years ago, I sat down and watched the commentary for Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And so this is a weird, like, irony to this story. It was a Sunday morning, and I was going to my cousin's house. Actually, it was Jen's cousin's house. And I had to work on his car, and he has a Holden, which is an Australian vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And he's from Australia. So he had his car, his very first car he ever owned, shipped over here. And he keeps it in perfect mint condition or whatever. The thing's gorgeous. It's a show car. And it was in March, and he's like, oh, can you come over? And we had scheduled for me to head over to his house at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning and fix the fenders on it for him. He had, you know, scraped them up. Just by chance, I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch Thor Ragnarok and the commentary, because I'm usually up at 7. So I was like, I put that on. I'm watching it, and Taika Waititi's doing the commentary for that because he directed it.
Right.
And he tells me, I didn't even know what this was going to be the first time I ever worked on a Holden. Never heard of a Holden until Christian, Jen's cousin, right? I'm going to work on a Holden. And in the audio commentary for Thor Ragnarok, Taika Waititi tells you all the spaceships in Thor Ragnarok are named after Holden vehicles.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
I'm like, it's not like the week of me doing that. It's literally a couple hours before I go to his house. And I told Christian, he's like, oh my God. Yeah. So like all the ships have names in that movie, and they're all named after Holden vehicles, because I think Taika Waititi is from New Zealand or whatever, or that area, you know, so those vehicles are big over there. And they're all named whatever they're named for. I don't know, but he's like, yeah, I was like, are you kidding me? What are the odds of that?
Yeah.
I was like,
serendipity.
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Don't use big words like that. I just say it's a coincidence.
Right.
All right. That'll do it for Mailbag this week. And if you're on YouTube, I hope you're enjoying the new graphic for Mailbag. That's a real bag that we have. And that's all the mail that we get. You look at that pile. Talk about paper wasted.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What are we going to get to now? Are we going to finally get to the news? We are now over an hour, John. This is what happens when you take a week off.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's get to this week's news.
All right. So,
very excited for this.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a ton here outside of the Disney Day.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Disney Day announcements, which we'll end with, but there's a few things. Some casting news, more Netflix Avatar The Last Airbender casting news. Daniel Dae Kim has been cast as Fire Lord Ozai, which I think is great casting. And then I actually saw today, I didn't put it in the notes, but the actor from Kim's Convenience, I don't know his name, was cast as Prince Zuko's uncle. I mean, who is also, you know, he's a big character in the cartoons, but he was cast today. So the casting for this show looks great. I'm, like, really looking forward to this.
The image I have up I don't know Airbender that well. Joe keeps telling me, you got to see it,
Oh,
and I've started, I think I'm done with the first season, but I don't know the characters like you. It is a good show. But yeah, Daniel Day-Kim looks just like the character. They have him side by side on the YouTube the image I put up from Deadline. It's pretty funny. He does. He looks same jawline, everything. Same eyebrows practically. All he has to do is like squint like he's angry.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, so yeah, like I said, this seems to be shaping up. That show seems to be shaping up and this should be great. Okay, more casting news. And I'm guessing this is for 2022, since we're past Halloween already.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this before Halloween, like in September, and I was like, "That's
yeah,
this
I know."
Year?
I was like, even for this year, this would have been pushing it. But
right.
An actor that I'm not familiar with, but his name is Gael Garcia Bernal, and he has been cast as Werewolf by Night for the Disney Plus Halloween special. So once again, I'm assuming Halloween 2022. We had speculated that they wanted to cast a Latino actor and use that version from the recent run of Werewolf by Night, and it looks like that's what they're doing. So,
The rap is where I got the graphic for this, and the headline is Gael Garcia Bernal to star in Marvel's werewolf-focused Disney Plus Halloween special. So the editor or whoever's writing the headline didn't have the wherewithal to actually just look up the title of the werewolf-focused Disney Plus Halloween special.
Right. Like,
in your headline, you couldn't have put the title. You put some werewolf-focused
thing.
Well,
and I don't know that it's even a werewolf-focused Halloween special. This is just one of the characters that is going to appear on the Halloween special. Could be about a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right.
It's just Werewolf by Night will be played by Gael Garcia Bernal. So,
right. It's so funny. Like, yeah. Good luck.
Otherwise, it would be in the Disney Plus Werewolf by Night series
right.
or special, but that's not what this is. Yet, anyways. Like,
right.
It's hard to imagine they're introducing this character for this special, and then that's it. We'll never see him again. So
right.
I'm sure it will lead to something.
Okay. Next up.
All right. As if Todd McFarlane doesn't have enough going on, the Todd Father announced two weeks ago that he is launching a TV production unit and announced two projects. The first one being McFarland, which I'm not familiar with the comic, and Thumbs, which is a comic that we did read.
We read that.
We read that.
I know I did.
I don't know
it?
If you.
I think we did. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it you got to. We only talked about issue one when we did the.
That was a while ago.
That was a long time. Yeah, well, a long time ago, but it was a while back. Yeah. But yeah, so who knows what else? I mean, I'm sure there'll be some Spawn projects in the pipeline. They were talking about at one point a Sam and Twitch series that seems like that would be perfect for Todd's production unit and other Image properties could follow. So
yeah, the Deadline
super cool.
Deadline has the headline saying Todd McFarlane launches TV production unit, announces McFarlane and Thumb series, talks taking on Hollywood as outsider and plotting Spawn universe. So I don't know. I didn't read the article, obviously, but I don't know if they're just talking about like plotting out the Spawn, the comic, or if they're actually doing a Spawn universe show too.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's still the on again, off again Spawn movie that's been in development limbo forever.
Yeah.
But that was not being done by his production company. So does that change now going forward? You know, I'm not really sure what that means, but there's no way he's getting involved in TV and not having something Spawn coming out. Yeah. So.
Yep. That will be fun.
Yep.
All right. What do we got? We got, here we go. A little bit of Marvel news.
Little Marvel news.
Confirmation,
Marvel,
really.
Yeah, Marvel VP has confirmed that there are no plans to recast T'Challa in the main MCU universe. Yeah, I mean, I've gone on record a few times saying that I feel like that's a mistake, but I understand what they're doing and their reasoning for it. And they have said this multiple times in the past that, you know, they weren't really interested in recasting, and this is just more confirmation of that. I personally feel like the character should transcend the actor, and the character is more important than any individual person. But,
yeah, you know. Yeah, we've discussed
and you
that.
Know, with a sufficient waiting period, there's no reason why T'Challa can't make a return into the Marvel Universe. But that's the current, at least the current thinking.
Yeah,
with this. So,
yep. Yeah, it's just such a weird situation.
You know, it is
like
weird.
He
like
was
I said,
scheduled to be that character, and then you're like, now if they replace him, it's got to feel weird on their part too. So that's why they're just going to write him out. And the MCU isn't the be all end all. I mean, T'Challa goes on in the comics.
Well, right, just,
right,
the character
and that's fine.
Still exists in the comics,
but the MCU can be different. You know, and we'll go from the funny thing is the MCU can be different, but still be faithful to the comics because they have so much to draw from. So it's, and I have a feeling that's what they're doing.
They did not say that they won't have a Black Panther. They just said that it won't be T'Challa.
Right.
So could be Shuri, could be, well, like in the comics, you know, M'Baku is the white ape, or I think that man ape, I think is the character's name. So it wouldn't make sense for M'Baku necessarily to be Black Panther, but Shuri has definitely worn the costume and had the name in the comics. So that seems like it would be the most obvious choice, but you know, there's no telling. Again, once you know, they have proven that they don't follow 100% faithfully to the comics. So, you know, hell, it could even be Killmonger for all we know. But if they go with the comics storylines, it would probably be Shuri.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard it on listening to Hashtag Dork a few weeks ago. They were saying that they heard the rumor, or I heard it through them, but they're actually going to kill him off. Like that he's going to die in the movie and they'll have like a funeral or something like that. And I know. Did you hear that as well?
They have to address it. I didn't hear it, but they have to address his absence.
Yeah.
They can't just pretend like it didn't happen. He's not Chuck from Happy Days. You know?
No.
he has to. They have to
address that's
it.
A deep cut right there. Yeah. Holy cow.
They will probably have an off-screen
so
death
funny.
And a memorial service or a funeral or something,
right?
To address his absence.
I have a feeling that's how they're going to open the show.
I would imagine so. That movie has to open with them addressing his absence or his death. So,
right.
It's unceremonious to think that the character dies off-screen and we don't get to see it. But it's just a product of
we all know why. Yeah, we all know why. Right. And nobody's going to be like, what'd they do it that way for? Well, you are really an idiot.
Now, again, anybody can be in the suit. So technically, he could have a death.
Yeah.
You know, they could have a scene where the character falls in a battle somewhere. As long as they just don't take the mask off. But they have to address it because...
Yeah.
You can't just go on and pretend like he didn't exist. So.
Yeah. I tell you, going through those IMAX scenes and watching Black Panther, and I've seen Black Panther now in the last few weeks, probably 3 times in its entire, but anyways, for home theater reasons, but watching him and knowing what we know about, you know, Chadwick Boseman, that he knew then. And you're like, when he goes into that battle, like when he becomes the Black Panther and he has to stand and he takes it and he is ripped. He is in such good shape.
Right.
And you're like, what he, That's hard for a healthy person to do.
Well, yeah, I'm healthy and I don't look like that. So,
but the discipline that he had to get his body in that shape, you know, and it's like talk to, you know, listen to Chris Evans, listen to, you know, Chris Hemsworth and these guys that they get ripped up for these scenes. And what the toll that takes on your body, that is not easy to do. It is hard, very hard to do. Yeah. And it like you're tired. I won't get into all that, but that's with a healthy person. What he was going through secretively. That's insane. It's insane. It's just
a lot of fortitude and strength of will for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So. Yeah. Amazing. All right. All right. On that happy note, getting a little misty out here, kid.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the last bit of just a little bit of news here.
Yeah. So obviously last
tell
Friday.
Tell me all about it, John.
Last Friday was Disney Plus Day. Well, I don't know a lot more than you know, to be honest with you. I didn't watch any of this. I've only read headlines. I did watch the little, like, 7 or 8 minute featurette that was on Disney Plus about the Marvel stuff, and fast forwarded through the first half of it because it was all stuff we'd already seen.
Right.
Like it was WandaVision and Falcon Winter. So I was like, why are we seeing this? We've already seen all these things.
Right.
And then the last half of it was new stuff. But there were a ton of announcements for Marvel and Pixar, which we won't really go into. They didn't touch a whole lot on Star Wars, which seemed weird, but there was a little bit of Star Wars
stuff. I have a theory
stuff,
on that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, again, breaking news that came out after we put this show together. It looks like Kathleen Kennedy today has renewed her contract for another 3 years with Lucasfilm and Star Wars. To the dismay of many.
I was just going to say, is that good news or bad news? Because I don't mind, but I know a lot of people don't.
A lot of people don't, but I would say that for every Last Jedi, there's also The Mandalorian. So,
right,
like, not everything that's happened under her watch has been great, but it hasn't been all bad either.
They can't all be gems, John.
But what struck me about...
See issue number one, Solo, A Star Wars Story.
What struck me about it is that she renewed her contract for an additional 3 years, and there won't be a single movie released in that 3-year span. So, I don't know what she's going to be doing.
It won't be released, but yeah, it won't be released.
They'll be working on them. But it looks like they've already pushed and shelved the Patty Jenkins project.
John, I'm not sure if you're aware. She's more in the production side. She's not the ticket taker.
I understand, but I'm just saying, like,
she only needs to be there while they're making it.
There won't be anything coming out while she's under contract. So,
but in 3 years, when something comes out, she's all over it. Her hands are dirty.
Right. So, but anyways, let's go through the Marvel stuff real quick. Some of this stuff we knew about and some of it we didn't know about. And I'm just reading down through the list of what was posted. So some of this stuff we knew and some of it we didn't. But we were giving a new look at Secret Invasion, which was basically just Samuel L. Jackson, a picture of Samuel L. Jackson. But we know that he and Ben Mendelsohn are reprising their roles for that. New announcement, an animated Marvel zombie series. So we didn't know we were getting that.
So that's just going to be probably an extension of the What If that we already saw.
I believe so, yes.
Right.
This is spin right out of that. Yep. Probably the lead up to what we saw and the aftermath of what you know, what happened afterwards.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know if we need it, to be honest with you. I had plenty with the What If episode, honestly.
Really? Because I thought it ended and I was like, I thought there was going to be another one.
I thought there was going to be another one as well. Like, we had gone under the assumption that the finale of season one of What If was going to be Marvel Zombies, and that turned out to not be the case. There's definitely a little bit more story there because it didn't end
No, it ended on like a cliffhanger,
you know,
or whatever.
We have the whole Thanos and Wakanda thing. And again, we don't know how it started. You know, we don't know how they all became Marvel zombies. So there's definitely story there, but I feel like I don't need a whole series of it. You know, maybe just the second episode for What If season two. Spoilers.
John, you were just saying you need more content.
Yeah.
And here it is. And you're turning your nose up at it. It's not broccoli, buddy.
I'm going to watch it.
I know.
Don't get me wrong. But I don't know. We'll see. It wasn't the most exciting thing.
Okay. No, it's not the most exciting thing. But it's, I mean, I already talked about what was the most exciting to me. But
yeah.
It's I am looking forward to it.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I am too. Like I said, I'm going to watch it, but it's, I don't know that we need it, but
we need air, food, and water. That's it.
Yeah. It just feels like probably not a lot of dialogue. Like, what's going on? Like, what are we watch? Like, yeah, what are we following through the whole show? I don't know. We'll see.
Wait till we do our Bright Side Chat Zombies episode.
Right.
Well, you kind of did a few weeks ago.
Oh, and if we go too much longer today, we'll be there because I'm already getting tired.
I know.
So,
I know. We're still in news, John.
I know. Well, I sent you a text. You might want to look at your phone. All right. Next up. Again, we had already heard this, but now we have the title. Catherine Hahn is returning for Agatha House of Harkness, which is going to have Jack Schaefer, who was the lead writer for WandaVision, is going to be writing this series and producing it. So I think that's great. Like I said, we'd already we didn't break the news, but we reported the news that she was going to have that series. We got to look at Ironheart, and by look, basically we got the graphic of what the show title is going to look like. But we know Dominique Thorne is going to star as Riri Williams for that show. And, I think that's great. I Am Groot, which is a series of shorts that follows Baby Groot's glory days growing up. I didn't know Baby Groot had glory days, but
yeah,
I guess we're gonna find out there.
That looks, just by the graphic of that, it looks like it's for kids.
I believe it
is. The graphic of it is like a Baby Groot, and he's got that smile and a hand wave, and he's like, "Hi." Yeah. You're like, "That's not for me. I want zombies."
Well, we'll also be watching it though. So,
I watch She-Ra. Why wouldn't I watch that?
We'll be watching.
Of course.
This is a new announcement, though. Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is an animated series that basically follows the MCU verse. So basically, the Tom Holland, Peter Parker.
Batman Year One was Taken, so they did Freshman Year, so, him being a student.
So Spider-Man Year One. Now, I don't know if this is, I'm assuming this is high school freshman and not college freshman, because it talks about him becoming the MCU version of Spider-Man, and so he was in high school when that happened.
I don't know if freshman is literal. It might just be his first,
could just be his
Spider-Man's first year. Yeah,
right. Which was basically Spider-Man
freshman year.
Homecoming, right? What was the name of the first movie?
Yeah, Homecoming.
Homecoming, right?
Yeah, but we didn't.
Didn't get we already get that? We already got that story.
We didn't. No, they didn't do the whole Uncle Ben thing. They didn't go into every, because that they said that when they made that movie that they didn't want to do that. Now they're going
to
do.
I don't know
an
if I need to see. I don't know if I need to see Uncle Ben dying again.
I know. Yeah, how many comic iterations? How many? Yeah. I mean, Tobey Maguire did it. Nah. Did Garfield do it? I don't think they did it in that one.
I don't remember. I try to block that movie out.
That movie was so memorable.
Yeah. I try to block that
out. I liked it at the time.
I did too.
okay.
Next, you know, again, we already knew this was coming, but Echo, starring Alakwa Cox, is playing Maya Lopez, who is Echo. She is going to be introduced in Hawkeye in the next couple of weeks, and this show spins out of that series. We got a first look at Miss Marvel, and basically a first look was just the actress Iman Vellani in her probably first iteration of her Miss Marvel costume. But we also got word that this has been pushed a lot further away than we thought. Like, this was initially something that was going to happen at the end of this year, and then
end of
first quarter
21.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And then it was going to be first quarter of 22. Now it looks like it's probably May or June before we're going to get that.
Oh, cool. Okay, so it is still in 22.
It is still in 22.
I thought you meant way out, like we're going with Kennedy's pulling the tickets for it.
No, but just been pushed further away than we thought. Like,
yeah.
I thought this was the next thing after Hawkeye.
Okay.
And it looks like it's not going to be. This was another new announcement. Season 2 of What If was announced.
Yep.
So I guess we could assumed we were going to get another season, but we didn't know. So
right.
So that's cool. To me, that's where you need to get the second half of the Marvel Zombies episode. That would have been it. But
what if, John, they're using that to, you know, springboard other shows, and the ones
I'm sure they will.
You know what I mean? And now what I think is interesting is that what if the next series of What If isn't with the MCU? What if it's like what we were saying? Like
I could only hope that it won't
exactly.
Be, but I'm still afraid that it will be.
Right.
But yes, I would love to see them branch out, and there's so much that they could do.
They could do X-Men
break away
stuff.
From the
they
MCU.
Could do so much more stuff that could be coming to the MCU.
Yes.
What if Blade? What if this? What if Moon Knight? What if, a lot of stuff we haven't seen yet. Right. And they'll eventually do this. Or what, you know, I think they could use that to introduce characters that we don't know. They could use it to expand people. Like you mix one in with with the MCU stories, because everybody's watching it for them. Oh, what's this? I never heard of that. And then,
right.
That's the hard thing about What If. If you do something obscure, nobody knows what the What If means. You know?
Yeah, it's true. No, it's true.
So,
and they were very specific about season one and why they wanted to stay with the MCU. So I don't think they're going to break from that for the next season.
Oh, okay. So, all right. We'll watch.
Definitely watch. We got our first look at She-Hulk.
Yeah.
And what I thought was interesting about this is, I mean, we didn't get a full image. We got a little bit of her back, you know, kind of her back, butt, and legs. But
looks good.
It feels like they went Lou Ferrigno with this, and it's not necessarily CGI. Like, it's Tatiana Maslany with green body paint.
You sure so. It's not like, well, when you do the female form in CGI, Hulk, it's a little bit more refined.
I think it's her. I think she
really?
Said so. I think it's
Are
her.
Are you sure it's not just the CGI got that good?
I don't know. Like I said, we'll see. Because she's not quite that tall. Like, Tatiana Maslany, like, she could, you know, get in shape, and she can tone, I'm sure, but I don't think she's very tall. And, you know, She-Hulk is tall. You know,
right.
It's like 7 feet tall, or 6.5 feet tall, something.
Well,
so
I forget the image. I watched the trailer, the teaser, or whatever you want to call it, and I want to say there was nobody. I thought she was taller. I thought she was the larger She-Hulk. That it's just that in the image that we saw, if I remember right, there's nobody next to her for reference.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, they can shoot it in such a way that she can appear taller than she is.
I mean, Gandalf was bigger than, you know, they made Hobbit smaller.
Well, and those guys aren't really
that
4 feet
much,
tall. So,
right. So there's, you know, optical
there's definitely
illusions.
Ways to shoot things, but
right.
It really felt to me like it was more practical and less CGI. So, just
probably
not,
a combination.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but not quite what I expected. But I like that they've gone back to, like, her classic look. Like, even though you only got the back of her, you can tell, like, in the comics lately, she's been much more hulked out. Like,
right.
She's
more
a
male.
Lot more, yeah, masculine. She's a lot more, she, more masculine right. and hulked out. And I know that she's got a new series in the comics coming out soon, too, where they've kind of brought her back to
right. That's her why I said it's look. More of the refined female form, yeah. where it's, she's still strong, she's athletic, but she's right. not the the bodybuilder Hulk woman. Right. Right. And it's and I think that when you do that, even if you were to do it in complete CGI, it's going to appear a little bit more realistic.
Well, it
because
will.
It is real. It looks more realistic.
Not, yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I
yeah,
a lot of the comments that I read and things that people were saying was that it was her with body paint. And
really,
it, that may or may not be true. I don't yeah. know. I haven't seen it. And we you know we didn't see her face. You know, and you know, all we really got was
did
a
they
back
get Lou
and,
Ferrigno
and
to apply the paint?
yeah, because then it'll be really spotty, and we'll be missing a bunch of areas.
yeah,
but I don't know. We'll see. But I think it looks good. And
yeah, it does.
We also got a first look at Moon Knight, so we got a little glimpse of Oscar Isaac in the suit.
Yeah. Did we get a glimpse of him in the suit or a glimpse of him and the suit?
Well, it looked like there was a glimpse of, like, there's a scene towards the end where it's like it's a long shot of, it looks like Moon Knight just jumping
right.
from a
so
building
it's the
or
suit.
Something.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, we don't see it up close and really get a good look at it. But, you know, there was a little tease of that. And, you know, again, a little bit of what we can expect with that show. Okay, another new announcement was X-Men 97 animated series, which is basically a sequel to the 90s X-Men
yeah.
animated show. So, again, I don't know. You know, it's been so long since I've seen that show. I don't know if it ended with like a story like Young Justice did where they need to pick up where they left off or if it's just going to be more stories with those
right like
versions
just,
of the characters. I don't
I'm
really
actually
know.
That I'm excited for because it's going to get me. I've never watched the X-Men series because it was 97. I'm like Joe was born in 97. I was busy doing other things and then it came out and I was 27 years old. It's not like I'm like, hey, let's sit down and watch this. So I didn't, but now I have a reason to, just like I did with Clone Wars.
Right.
You know, they were coming in Young Justice. I sat down and watched. That was just one season at the time. Actually, no, it was two because we're on season four right now.
Yeah, it was two. And then they came back
with three.
HBO Max came back with three and four.
Actually, it was DC Universe came
it
back.
It was
with
DC
three.
Universe was season three. And then HBO
now we
Max
have four.
Season
yeah.
four. Yeah, I didn't watch it all either, but I watched some of it. You know,
I've seen it since Disney Plus. I've seen a little bit of it, and it's a good show. I want to watch it in its entirety and get ready for the new series because I definitely want to pay attention to that.
Right. That is it for the Marvel news, other than, of course, they released the 13 IMAX enhanced movies on Disney Plus, which we've already covered.
Yeah. See, open to show.
yeah, this article doesn't actually have any of the Star Wars news in it, but I know that we basically got a look at Obi-Wan, and a tease of the battle with Obi-Wan and Vader, which looks great. And then we got news that Andor would be coming mid to late 2022.
Oh,
so
cool!
I think we get. Andor actually probably comes before Obi-Wan as well. So we probably get Book of Boba Fett and then I would guess Andor and then Obi-Wan. I don't think there was
Is it Mandalorian
at the
end of the year?
Yeah, be at the end of the year.
November again?
I don't know if there was, with the Obi-Wan news, if there was anything about when it was coming out. And like I said, I don't have it here in this article, so I'm not sure. But I know that they said Andor was coming mid-year. So,
all right, cool.
I think that's probably the next thing that we get.
Disney Plus Day typically goes light on Star Wars stuff because Star Wars stuff is usually for the Star Wars Day. Right. We usually get a ton of Star Wars information, which we did back in May. Right. And didn't we say the same thing last year? There wasn't a lot of Star Wars. Yeah. It's like, I mean, they gave us the look into Boba Fett, which I've seen. Right. It's literally only like 15 minutes long, and I've seen half of it.
I watched it. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, but
yeah, I watched it the other night. It was interesting. I mean, some stuff I knew, some stuff I didn't know. You know, and they went into some of the history of the toys and which we speculated that they might. But yeah, it was fun. But yeah, it wasn't. I was a little let down because it's not quite what I was expecting.
It's only 15 minutes. Like 15.
Yeah.
Is it? 20 it's minutes really tops, just, something like that?
It's really just like the Legends thing for the Book of Boba Fett. You know, they do that Legends series for all the Marvel shows before they come up. That's kind of all this was. Just a little primer on Boba Fett to get you ready for the show.
Yeah.
It didn't really go into great detail or depth.
I don't hear or see a lot of advertising for it, but I do like that they do the behind the scenes, they did Black Widow, Shang-Chi came out. I'm pretty sure that's on there now.
It did. Yeah.
I haven't watched that one yet, but the Black Widow one was really good.
Yes, all of the movies.
It's called,
Assembled. No, it's Assembled. Yeah. It's called Assembled.
Right. Yeah. And cause they did it for Mandalorian too. They do.
Yes. But
they do it for all of the Marvel stuff. Now it's like you said, it's called for the Marvel stuff. It's called Assembled. It's called something else for the,
it's
Star
different
Wars
for
stuff.
Star Wars, and but it's I can't the same idea what it was, but yeah, it's basically just the making of
tons of great, great information, especially like Nick was saying, asking about commentaries and stuff. That's what this stuff all is.
Now you're that and like I said, I will watch those. Like I'll watch the making of. But what's funny is if that show was buried on the DVD, I probably wouldn't have watched it.
Right.
But the fact that it shows up on my what to watch next on Apple TV, I just click on it and watch it. You know?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So, it's because they tell me to watch it, and I do.
Yeah.
So
that's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all we have for Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Is that everything? That's cool.
I think so.
That's cool.
Like I said, there was some...
weren't we supposed to get the Spider-Man trailer today? And we haven't yet.
Well, we're supposed to get it soon. I don't know if
it was today. I kept looking all
day. I don't know. Did we? I don't care because I've already seen two trailers. I'm not even going to watch it.
I do. Some of the listeners might. But I don't know.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying I don't. Like I've already seen two trailers. I don't... actually need another trailer. The movie comes out in a month.
I want more Matt Murdock rumors.
Yeah. Well, the rumors are flying on that, but we'll see.
Yeah. And did you see Tobey Maguire's... not Tobey Maguire.
Garfield?
Nope. The current...
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland saying they're not in it. I don't know what it'll take for people to believe me. He goes, I guess when they finally see the movie, they'll really believe me. And I'm like,
I don't know if I believe you. Yeah.
Of course you don't. You're an actor, buddy. Right. Like, that's your job. It's like, I get it. And if they're not in it, he'll go, see. But, oh, well. All right. For the, fairness in time, we're going to a little editing here. We do actually have Speculator and Back Issue this week. But with the addition of Mailbag and with the all of this information that we've been talking about, I mean, we're going for a while here. We're going to jump ahead.
Yes.
We'll go right to FOC. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
All righty then. Let's get right to FOC. And quick little PSA before we get into FOC, because it keeps Catwoman up on the screen a little longer for me here. Yeah. But if you guys don't want Speculator and Back Issue, let us know if it's not a big deal to you, because that takes a lot of work for John to put together, and then I got to put the images together. And I mean, sometimes we can get to it, sometimes we can't, but we get very little comments about it. We don't mind doing it when we can, But at the same time, if we don't have to do it, the show seems to be expanding and expanding. So something's got to drop.
Yeah, something's got to give.
We got to eat, shows
can't
baby.
They can't be 3 hours long every week.
Yeah, but we also had a week off.
And honestly, they can still be in the show notes today.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, they'll be in the show notes. Good call. So. Good call. So, anyway, all right. FOC, we got...
Even FOC, like, again, not that I don't want to do things, but if these are not segments that people care a lot about,
right?
You know, again, our shows are going long, so we can cut some of these things out.
Right.
But we do have FOC this week. So starting with DC, we have Catwoman number 38, Jenny Frisson.
Yep. Art. Hey, you want to know how good I'm getting at this, John? We've been doing this so long. I knew this was Jenny Frisson before I saw the name.
I know. That's great.
I was like looking at it. I'm like, that looks like I think it's a Jenny Frisson. And I looked at your notes and I was like, holy crap. I was right.
He's getting there.
3+ years.
He is getting there.
Great cover.
It is a great cover. This is also a great cover. A Human Target number 3, Stanley Art Jerem Lau. I don't know anything about this series or who that character is, but I like the art.
So, wouldn't mind getting to know her.
Yep. No kidding. next, Justice League 71. Oh, there we go. Justice League 71, Alexander Lozano. Pretty
this
cool.
This is a nice cover,
Flash
too.
Cover. Yeah, I like that cover. And then Nightwing 87, Jamal Campbell. Which is also a pretty good cover.
That's a cool cover because it reminds me of my new dog, Franklin.
Ah, there you go.
Kind of looks just like him. And that's what he's like, too. He'll just come up on you and just pass out.
Just lay on you.
Oh, he's so muscular and heavy, but he's little.
Right.
And he's like 30 pounds, but he's not that big. He's just a rock.
Just a rock.
Yeah. Great dog. All right. Oh. Moving along.
All right. New series for Dr. Joe. Swamp Thing, Green Hell, issue number 1. This is a black label, oversized book. You can tell by the square picture.
The square picture, yep.
This is going to be 3 issues, and it has 2 covers. He's going to have to buy a magazine. He's going to have to buy a magazine box eventually.
Yep.
So,
poor Dr.
And then,
Joe.
I know. They're going to keep putting them out until he buys a box, and then there won't be any more.
Right.
So, it's my job to report back when he does that. So, next up from Dark Horse Comics, we have Cloaked number 1. This is a 4-issue series with 2 covers. From Image, we have Spawn Scorched number 1 with a whole bunch of covers. This is like the team up book with all the Spawns.
Yeah, so I've got 2 covers here because you didn't have one included.
There's no A cover. Cover is not available.
Well, I grabbed the main one. It said a main cover.
Oh, I don't know where you found it. Unless it came up later in the day, but it wasn't available earlier.
I found a main one and a Greg Capullo.
Okay.
So that's the Greg Capullo we're looking at right now on YouTube. And the first one is the main one, which is it's kind of a reddish yellow with scorched and blue across the top. Can't miss it.
Right.
Really looking forward to that one, and that's I texted you over the weekend about it.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's the crossover. But I think what did you say? You knew Scorched was coming.
I knew
but you
Scorched
didn't know it
was
the
coming.
Crossover.
But I just thought it was another monthly book.
Right.
It was just part of the announcements. I didn't realize that this was basically like the Justice League book.
Yeah,
of Spawn.
Of Spawn.
You know, it's gonna have everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Up.
Should be really cool.
Yeah. You know how big of a Spawn fan I am. Can't wait.
I know. You're such a big Spawn fan.
Hey, I told you about it. Look at that.
I know you did. You schooled me.
Yeah. So, look at.
I can still learn.
Hey, busted clocks right twice a day.
That's right.
All right.
All right. Next up, we have from Marvel, Venom number 4. We have David Yardine. This is an homage cover to Spider-Man 300. Pretty cool cover. Although we've seen this image a bunch of times before. And then a couple new series. We have Ben Reilly Spider-Man number 1 with multiple covers.
Okay.
And then there's a Wolverine event. It's actually X Lives and X Deaths of Wolverine. It's going to be 4 issues weekly two X lives and two X deaths. X lives number one comes out with multiple covers on FOC this week.
Wow. All right.
Okay. Next from Vault Comics, we have We Ride Titans, issue number one with two covers. And finally, from Dynamite, we have Vampirella, Dracula, Unholy, number one, with a whole bunch of covers.
There goes all your paper.
I know. Paper shortage.
Yep. All right. Let's quickly move along. We'll get to checkout.
Yeah, and this is why I want to kind of move, because I've got 2 weeks worth of books and TV shows to talk about.
So. I know. And yeah, we got a little bit of Kryptonite. And So checkout. We have 2 weeks of books because we didn't do last week's book, and I have the images here for them. But we'll talk about this week. Let's get current first, and we'll go with what you have here.
So the first up from this week from Dynamite, we have Nyx, NYX. I'm not sure. I think it's Nyx, though, because it's a character's name. Nyx, number one.
Yes.
Was written by Christos Gage, had art by Mark Borstel, cover art by Lucio Perillo. The best thing about this book was the cover art from Lucio Perillo. This book spins out of the pages of Vampirella and Sacred Six. So, and again, I didn't know this going into it. I didn't know who Nyx was. But Nyx is a character, I guess, that comes from these books. She is a demon daughter of a human and the mad god Chaos. So Nyx basically, like I said, she's a demon. She needs to kill once a day and feed on the life force of living beings to survive. So she's got that going for her, but she also finds herself, falling for a human in this book.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was very good, honestly.
Really?
I thought the art was pedestrian, and I thought the story was contrived and very stock. Like, it just...
It was. Yeah.
It's not inherently bad.
Yeah.
It just wasn't inherently good either. It just felt like it was kind of phoned in, very generic. Huh. And
I liked it.
By the end, I will say that I got a little bit into it at the end. But going through this, I wasn't really too into it. So
what I'll say is, like you said, it's like when the first few pages, you realize this is part of like the Vampirella universe.
Right.
And this is an existing character that's been around, because it says go back and see here, you know.
Yeah.
But I felt like as I'm reading the book, it gave me enough information for this story that I was into the story. And then by the end of it, you're right, it's contrived and it's this, but I still thought it was kind of fun. And I like Vampirella too. I mean, it's an adult comic book, and
it is. Yes. It's definitely R rated.
Or
at least heavy PG-13. I don't know. Like I said, it wasn't ultimately bad.
It doesn't change the world in any way.
It doesn't. And I am not going to read number two. If I come across it, I may.
Because I thought it was fun. It's fun in like
I come across number one. But that's either here nor there. But
oh, God, help me. it's a long night.
It is.
Oh my.
And you know, we have time change. It's like pitch black out now. Feels like we've been recording all day.
I know. You're coming out with jokes like that. Okay. All right, before it gets real ugly. Are you drinking already?
I am not. Just Diet Coke.
All right. Let's All right, then I enjoyed it. I will try to, if I find it again, I may read number two. I might not seek it out, but if I happen to peruse past it, is that better?
Yeah, it is, yes.
It's like we're 12 again.
I know.
That's not a bad thing. All right, let's move on to the next one. I want to see what you thought of this one.
Yeah, so the next book is from Boom Studios regarding the matter of Oswald's body. This was issue number one. It's a 5-issue miniseries. It was written by Christopher Cantwell, had art by Luca Casalinguida, I think.
Nice.
This reminded me a lot of Department of Truth.
Yep.
In the sense that it's very conspiracy.
Because Oswald's in it.
Well, but it's very conspiracy.
Right.
Driven, like, you know, there's lots of conspiracy theories out there, and one of them has been that Lee Harvey Oswald's body is not actually, like, it wasn't actually Oswald that was killed and buried in the grave site, and that he might still be alive. So this is a book where somebody's putting a team together of like random people
seemingly random.
Seemingly random.
But he had all the information on them.
But here's what, like, I'm confused by this book, and I'll tell you why. The interior, like, all of the book, basically all of the comic pages of the book were very grounded and conspiracy theory, you know, like I said, Department of Truth, X-Files kind of thing. But there's an excerpt at the front of the book and at the back of the book.
Right.
That talks a lot about. Yes, but it was very like supernatural.
Right.
Like, they were talking about, like, so I don't know if this book is grounded in the sense that it's going to be just a mystery, or if it's actually got more to it. And I'm not sure what's going on here. I liked it though. This one I will read again, and I think I mostly will read number two just to get the answer, because I'm not sure what's going on here. It could be that those pages don't have a lot, like they're not connected, but then why are they there?
Right.
You know? So like you said, they're essentially X-Men white pages. They have to mean something. So, and again, they were very ghost story pages. Like, it just felt like it was a horror thing or a ghost story. So I don't know what we're getting here. But yeah, I thought this book was interesting. I like Department of Truth. I like the X-Files. I like that stuff. So this is kind of the same.
Yeah.
And
no, I liked it too. I liked the whole conspiracy theory. I love that stuff. I love all the stuff surrounding the Kennedy assassination, though, you know, the movies, the all of the conspiracies. I love hearing about it, talking about it, and interesting takes on it. Interesting, they're not even theories, but, you know, fictional stories about it.
Right.
You know,
it's just, it's
that surround it. I find it fascinating because they'll weave in with, like, with this one, they weave in a conspiracy with a piece of reality with a piece of their fiction, and you're like,
right,
by the end of the book, like you said, you got these two things in book or movie, whatever we happen to be watching or reading at the time. But when people do this at the end, you're like, which is real, which is fiction, which is, you know, it's
right,
you know, you don't know. Kind of like, what's really good about that is what Dale Brown, the Langdon, Robert
Dan
Langdon.
Brown.
Dan Brown.
Dan Brown.
Dale Brown wrote Day of the Cheetah. Dan Brown. And he write, the way he writes, you don't know what's real and what's fiction.
Right.
You know, so it's so much fun. And then in this case here, I mean, you get an idea, but like all the people he's pulling together and then the dates that they're giving you, because it's leading up to the, he knows what he's going to do. It's, you know, the story, like, it, this is all in November before the assassination, and he's already planning their exit strategy. And it's just like, where is it going though? Cause like you said, like, I found it fascinating. I thought it was a lot of fun to read. It was a, dare I say, a page turner. Cause you just wanted to see what they said next. So,
yeah. And like I said, those characters were quirky and fun, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, my theory is they're all going to end up dead.
Good.
Because that's what typically happens in this type of thing. you know, right. where they're like, oh, we'll hire you, and you're all going to get to go to some Caribbean island, and oh, awesome, and then they all end up dead.
Right.
Yeah, no loose ends. So, and that's how you keep it to 5 books.
Right.
All right. The next one I have here, Image 4, and we didn't get to talk about it last week, is AWA's Knighted, number one.
Right.
And what did you think of that?
I remember that I read it.
Nice.
It's been 2 weeks and I've read a million things.
I'm the same way.
I know that I liked it. I kind of remember the general sense that, you know, like, you know, you follow this guy that works for the police department, but he's not a cop. He's just kind of like a consultant or right. whatever. And, you know, he's kind of debunking this hero throughout the book that everybody else seems to be
right.
you know, really high on. And it's a couple weeks old, so I'm not going to worry about spoiler free. At the end of the book, he finds himself in the costume. Like, he's the guy, right? Like, he kills the guy.
You know what it's kind of like? I mean, let me give you the Santa Claus.
Yeah. Yeah. He kills the guy and becomes him. Thing. Yeah.
It's the Santa Claus with Tim Allen, right. only it's instead of being the Santa Claus, it's the Batman Claus.
Right.
You know, and right. even the Batmobile and everything.
Right, because the other guy was very much like Alfred or Lucius Fox, you know. It did feel very Lucius Fox. Very Batman. Yeah.
But he looked like Morgan Freeman. They yes. drew him to look like Morgan Freeman. Yeah.
So
and he's the brains of the outfit.
Right. I liked it. I don't really remember it 100% because it's, like I said, it's been a couple weeks, and as we'll get to, I read a lot of stuff. But I thought it was good, and I'm definitely going to keep reading it.
Yes. Yeah, so, like I say, like, I mean, it was predictable.
Mark Teixeira did the art. I remember that, and he's great. This is also in the Resistance world, so...
Oh, is it?
I didn't know that. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's Greg Hurwitz was the writer, okay. Mark Teixeira, yep. artist. Yep.
Yep.
It's been done before. It's this, that. You could say all of these negative things, but I loved it. I had so much fun with it. It's like, it was funny. It was. The Alfred character was like, no, he was a jackass.
Right.
Talking about like whoever was in the suit before. And all it's kind of a take on Batman if Batman was just like a body. Like Johnny right. Bravo. I just right. need somebody in the suit. And Alfred actually is running everything, right? Alfred's the billionaire. Alfred just needs a young guy in the suit. The suit will do everything else.
Right.
And that's basically what it is. And this guy finds himself in it. Yeah, I can't wait to read. Because I think, you know, as much as we may have spoiled this book, we really didn't because it's still good.
We didn't.
But like I think I said, where the story goes from here is very interesting because
at this point it's 3 weeks old. So
true.
Because we talk about them a week after they come out, and
right.
that was
and it's been
two
week,
weeks
so,
ago.
Yeah.
So, you're right. It's been out long enough that we could talk about it.
Right.
And it's short. It's only 3 issues or 4 issues, I think. So
is it really?
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's very long.
Okay.
So
all right, so definitely want to keep up with that. The cover has like a whole Shazam Superman look to it.
Dark Knight, Frank Miller's Dark Knight.
But yeah, but the colors, like. It looks like Dark Knight, but then the lightning and everything, it looks, yeah.
I mean, they didn't shy away from Batman. I mean, they definitely
no, not
leaned
at
into
all.
It, so.
Yeah, Batmobile's a Lamborghini, but okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right, the next one we were going to talk about last week is Chip Zdarsky's Newborn.
Newborn.
Image Comics.
Yep.
Art by Jacob Phillips, I believe. Is that was he the artist? Yeah, it's on the cover. What did you think of that one?
So this was very real world crime noir, drama. Newborn is a kind of a ex-cop fixer. He works for the mob, the different mafia families, and he's the untouchable guy that goes
awesome.
Between the families and does all the things. I thought it was really good, But this is the kind of story that I like to see more than read. Like, I would enjoy this a lot more if it was a TV show. Like, I don't get into these as much in the comics.
Really?
Yeah, like, I probably will continue to read it because
I definitely
the writing was good and I like the characters, but these are not my favorite type of comics to read. I would rather see these as shows, like
right.
the cop, like kind of the cop drama type things.
Yeah.
Not my particular favorite when it comes to comics, but this book was well executed and the characters very interesting.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
Chip Zdarsky's a great writer. I'm definitely going to read it, but I think this would be a great show, you know?
Yeah, it would be. And I thought the same thing while I was reading it, as a matter of fact. You're like, oh, I'd love to see this get made. But I loved reading it, though. I loved the whole idea, like, that. I mean, what did he say to the woman? Was it a woman that had the gun on him at the end?
Yeah.
And he's like, you don't want to do that.
Right.
<It's> like, right. I'm like, it was really like, he's the fixer. He's an ex-cop that is like Ray Donovan for all of the mob in New York. And it's just like, he takes care of everything. And they all pay him. And if you mess with him, he knows all their dirty secrets.
Right. And he's untouchable. Yeah.
Right. If you mess with him, you're really in trouble.
he's the Baba Yaga.
Yeah, know? Really.
Because even when that woman had the gun on him and she's like, oh, you're Newburn? And like, that was it. Like, she was
right.
Like, oh,
exactly.
I've heard of you. And,
yeah.
You know,
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
So.
Wish I had that reputation.
I know, right? Me too.
I just get laughs. And not in a good way.
Right. Oh, I've heard of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like this book a lot. Highly recommend that.
Yep.
What do you want to go with for a title out of the? Do you want to do these four? Or you want to do regarding matter of Oswald's body because it's current?
That's fine. That's because it's current from this week. So.
Okay. Well, we could do Eternals.
We could.
That's 2 weeks old too.
That's true.
It's up to you. Dead air.
Yeah. Well, we'll decide.
We'll decide. All right, we'll keep it going.
You'll, because again, they already know. So
they already know. Yeah. There we go. All right. What do we got coming up next week?
Robins
number
from DC Comics. Robins number one, and then Radio Apocalypse.
Oh, you didn't add that one.
No, I guess I forgot to put it in there, but that's from Vault, coming from Vault Comics.
Oh, now I got to try and spell apocalypse.
Yeah.
Lips.
A-P-O-C, ellipse.
Number one.
Yeah.
Okay. Robin's number one and Radio Apocalypse number one. Radio Apocalypse number one. Oh, yeah, that's... I got images on that. We have some of that and I speculated, but we didn't talk about it. We're not doing that this week. I'm like, why do I know that? Did I read it already? All right. What else do you got? What else did you read? I read a bunch, so I'm sure you read everything I read.
Well, Dark Knights of Steel, Tom Taylor.
Oh, I didn't read that.
Okay. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically, well, we talked about it coming, leading up to it, but this is basically the DC characters in like King Arthur's court. You know, it's like back in they're knights, and you know.
Yeah.
It's basically the DC characters back in that time period. You know, Batman, of course, Bruce Wayne is the Black Knight or the Dark Knight. Really lends itself. I mean, the name is right there. He already wears armor, so it was pretty easy. But yeah, this was again Tom Taylor, really good story. It's I think a 12 issue series. So, you should pick it up. You'll like it.
Yep.
Put it
on my list.
I read Robin and Batman number one. This is a 3-issue series. This is basically the origin of Dick Grayson. Is Robin?
How was
told
it?
Being told by Dick? You know, being told by Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, again, a lot of stuff we already know. You know, like we know the origin of Dick Grayson, but this was his. like kind of his upbringing, right? Like he's his training, his learning, his being scolded by Batman for not doing things the right way, and you know, wanting to. It's the Jason Todd, like he wants to get out there before he's ready, type of thing. It didn't bring a lot of new information, but it was a really good read. Although they did make a small tweak to his lore when it comes to he's trying to think of a name for himself, and he throws out Nightwing, which, you know, in the past we've heard that he got that name from Superman, like that's a
it wasn't
from Krypton. It wasn't something that he had really early on. So that was something that was just a little bit of a tweak to the origin, that he was considering the name Nightwing before he even became Robin. But like they talk, like they kind of lean into the colors of his suit, you know, because that's right. always the running joke of why he is wearing bright colors in the night with Batman.
I love the answer in Titans when they first introduced Jason Todd.
Yeah.
And it
but
was,
they, well, yeah. So, they, well, I'll just say they go into that, the reason why he chose those colors and did what he did, and what they meant, you know, to him at the time. So, excuse me. It was good. Great book. Like I said, it's only going to be three issues. Really good paint. It's Dustin Nguyen does the art, and it's like all watercolor throughout style, and it's really good.
Oh, cool.
Again, I'm surprised you didn't read. I really thought you would have read both of those. I'm surprised you didn't read either one.
Yeah, well, I read a bunch, but I didn't see that one. I don't know why.
Okay. And then I read a couple. See, I read Dune: House Atreides, which was 11 issues. I dove into that. This is a 12 issue series, so I'm still waiting for number 12. But this is all the prequel to Dune, basically. It's the lead up to the movie that we saw, kind of like the rise of House Atreides and all the stuff with
so how is that, like, when you watch, I know you, so I'm guessing you read that then went back and watched the movie.
Does it enhance
the movie?
It does, in a couple of ways. Number one, because you get to see in writing some of the words and phrases they're using in the movie that you don't understand.
Right.
But you get to know what they are. Like, you know what they mean. When you hear it again in the movie, you know what it means. And then, like, the whole thing, like, the transition of power from the Harkonnens to the Atreides and all that stuff. Like, there's more significance there when you know the backstory to it. So I really enjoyed this book, actually. I think if you like the movie at all, this is a no-brainer. Number 12 is getting ready to come out, so it's very, very shortly going to be in a trade paperback. I would just wait at this point and not go back and buy all. Well, I mean, you can go on Comixology, you know, that's what I do, and just read them digitally. But tracking down all 11 issues probably is difficult.
Right.
So you might just wait till it finishes. But I wanted to dive in because, like I said, I kind of got into Dune and then wanted to know more. So this definitely brings more, and it makes the movie a little better, I think. So that was cool. And then I read Killadelphia and subsequently Nita Haw's Nightmare Blog, which was only one issue. But Killadelphia was 18 issues. Rodney Barnes and Jason Sean Alexander are the creators of this. This is, on the surface, it's just a vampire book. Yeah, you know, it's another vampire story. But this is very, very unique in the sense of who the main players are, like who the vampires are. And I don't want to spoil it for people that haven't read it. But they're historical figures. They're people that you know, and it's really, really interesting. And I just thought the writing is great. The art is great. Like, I put out a tweet with, like, one of my favorite comic pages of all time. Like, this was, like, the craziest
page. Yeah, yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, my God. Like, if this doesn't make you want to read the book, nothing will. It will sell it. That picture sells it better than I ever will. But this was a great book. And Nita Hawes Nightmare Blog is basically a spinoff that comes out of this. She is actually, you could read that book without ever reading Killadelphia. After I read Killadelphia, she is only just mentioned in passing like one time in the book.
Which
Which was like an issue 17. So I think it was only put in there to set up this book.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we want to do this book, so let's put her name in here. And it was just an ex-girlfriend of the main character that only comes up by name. So it's not necessary to read them, but that book was good as well. It basically just takes the story to to another place instead of, you know, Killadelphia is all Philadelphia. Her book takes place in Baltimore. So, again, I really recommend it if you like horror or vampire, or even if you don't, this was still good. Like, it was a really good,
I started
really
it.
Interesting. Did
I,
you?
Yeah. I got both the volumes, and I'm not to the part where you sent out that image, because I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, that's like second arc. It's probably in the second.
Okay, second volume?
Second volume, yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those books that we had started that.
I never have.
Really?
I never had. Because this was before our show, I think.
Yeah, but I swear I had read some that
you
first
might have,
one I
yeah.
might I read.
You might
but
have,
then
but
I'm,
I never
I'm
have.
Getting to, now I'm at stuff that I haven't seen before, but right. I'm reading it and I'm like, I want to read more. It's yeah. I want to like
plowed right through it. Like
yeah, I just want to be able to sit down and read it. It is. It's really good. I'm having
and it's
a lot
nice because
really
it's 18 issues so far. It's basically 3 6 issue story arcs.
Yeah.
Which is great for the volumes because
right.
each volume was just a complete story arc. They all are interconnected, but they are complete stories on their own. So
right.
But yeah, I don't know how far you're into it. If you know what I'm talking about when I say historical characters.
Oh yeah.
Like, do you? Okay. So you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, like I said, I don't
I mean,
know if
whole,
you knew. That's
I mean,
why I didn't want to spoil it.
Yeah, you don't want to spoil it because if you don't know what it's about,
right?
If you say what the
because when I found out who
how
it
all started,
I was like, oh wow, that's pretty interesting,
isn't
you
it?
Know,
it's like yeah, how they even thought of that. The
right
patient zero,
right?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm definitely to that part, but
okay.
Yeah, you definitely. I mean. It's worth checking out because by the time you find out what we're talking about, you're hooked into the book anyway.
Yeah, you're already into it.
But if I just told you, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of weird. Yeah, you got to find out. Really good. I really enjoy it. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be, I'll check out Dune as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. Like I said, if you like the movie, you'll definitely like the comic.
Yeah.
And like I said, I had read the first issue back when it first came out, but having not seen the movie first, it
right.
didn't resonate with me
yeah,
at
you
all.
Don't know,
like I just didn't know who anybody was, and
you're not invested in the characters.
I wasn't. But going back and after seeing the movie the first time, I thought it was great, and I was super invested in the characters at that point. So
cool. All right. What else?
As far as what I read, that's it. I mean,
okay.
I read a lot of, again, almost everything you're going to mention, I probably read.
Right.
But these are the
well,
ones
I got one that maybe you didn't.
That I wrote down.
Are you caught up on Red Sonja, number 2 and 3? I
yes.
read that.
Yep.
Again, same thing.
Really good. Yep.
Yeah, it is. I know you're a Red Sonja fan to begin with,
yeah.
but I'm really enjoying that. And what's funny is I'm going to go through these books and tell you how much I enjoyed them, but I can't really tell you why.
I know. Can't remember
I'm like,
a lot of
I
them.
Just know that I was like, oh, I can't wait to tell John I read this one and this one. Here's one. Did you read Jennifer's Blood?
No.
Dynamite?
No, I didn't read that one.
So I read that and I liked it.
Did
and
you?
And I'm looking at it. It's, I want to say it's kind of like a female John Wick type thing, if
well,
I remember
I, that's,
right.
Yeah, I and, saw that and, like in the synopsis of it.
Yeah, and it was kind of fun. It's,
yeah.
like, I mean, yeah, I just, I, it's an adult type of book. And right. I, but again, none of these books that I'm going to talk about was I thinking like, oh, I got to tell people don't read that one. I
right.
enjoyed it. I enjoyed that one. Joker number 9.
Yep.
I thought it's finally coming around. And I think what I do remember about this book is that it's finally turning into the Joker story.
Right.
And in a way, it's now we're seeing why it's titled Joker, But we've been following Gordon almost the entire
the whole time.
The running joke has been, why isn't this a, you know, Gordon book, you know, in right. Commissioner Gordon book. And this is why. When you get to number nine, you're like, oh my, like, all right, it, this entire time it's been a Joker story.
Right.
Which is really good. Star Wars number 18.
Yeah.
Still going on that. I don't remember what happened in that book. Do you? Leia.
That was
Lando. Lando had a good monologue, I believe, where he was saying.
Yeah, but he was saying, like, he knew that Han had made it to Jabba. Like, Leia, they thought Han was dead. Leia and Chewie,
what's her name set told him.
That's right. Kira came on board.
Yep.
And
oh, that's right. And that's right. she was held at gunpoint. Yeah.
She was coming back to me.
Leia had her at gunpoint. And,
right.
And Kira's said, like, you can arrest me. You can do this. You can do that.
Or you can help me get Han. You know.
Or I'll help you get Han.
Right.
And you're going to let me go so that I can do. And it, I thought that was really cool twist to the story.
Yeah.
And it was really cool how they just suddenly he ends up at. I mean, we've known all along that he's not dead because we know next movie.
Right.
But how were they going to pull it off? And it was Boba. But do you feel like I did feel like reading this book that they seem to be softening Boba Fett?
I feel like they want him
a more likable character.
Right, to be like neutral. Deadpool. Yeah, to be like an anti-hero. Because that's what they're setting up. I do feel that way.
Because when we were kids, bounty hunters were bad.
And even in the trailer for the Book of Boba Fett, where he says, I'm not a bounty hunter. Like, they're trying to bring him back around.
Rewriting his history, yeah.
Which, to be fair, he didn't really have a lot of history prior to this, you know. But he was feared, and he was...
He was feared, you know, and he was, what, the most feared bounty hunter in the galaxy? And in our upbringing, our idea of bounty hunters were they were bad. They were evil. Right. And to the point that even when you hear about, like...
I don't know, man. You had the Fall Guy and Heather Thomas.
Right.
Nothing about that was evil.
But that kind of changed it, though. You were like, he's a bounty hunter? You're like, that's weird. So it kind of had to... But by the time we watched The Fall Guy, we were older. But when we were kids, so all of our, and that's the way he was portrayed. Boba Fett was portrayed as an evil guy, as a bounty
hunter. I do feel like they're trying to rewrite him a little bit because he's got a show coming out and, you know, he's going to be the hero of his show. So,
they're giving him a heart, whereas in the original series, he didn't have a heart at all. He didn't care. And even in the Django had no heart,
right?
You know, Django had no heart, and Boba was being raised by him that way. And then in the Clone Wars, they kind of had him as a young kid. He was kind of heartless,
right?
And now all of a sudden, in the comics, which are taking place back when we were thinking he had no heart, and now all of a sudden, it's like we're getting all this heart out of him, all these feelings.
Yeah.
So, which I mean. For most people, they don't even know the difference.
Yeah. So. It's fine. But I agree. I do agree, though.
Spawn number 323. Really enjoying
that.
You don't read that. Really enjoying that. So much so that when I finished that book, I'm like, oh, I went on to Netflix and I actually put it under my list of Spawn from, what was it, 97? Is that when it came out?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be watching that one soon. Cool. Looking forward to that. But really,
I keep meaning to go back and watch the cartoon on HBO Max, and I keep forgetting to do that. Because I believe it's on there.
Is it?
I think it is. Yeah. Because that was an HBO cartoon back in the day. And I think it's on Max right now.
Oh, cool.
Haven't gone back and watched it. Yeah. And I remember really enjoying that. And what I remember the most about it is, you know, Todd narrated every episode. He was.
Right.
He was the Crypt Keeper for every episode.
Yeah kind of like, Stan Lee did with Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Right. And a lot of other stuff he did, I think. Batman number 116. We had that one coming past.
I know I read it. Yeah, I know I read too. It, but I don't remember much about it.
What I do remember about it, be honest with you.
I just remember that I'm done with this story. Like, I'm ready for it to be
over. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I was like...
And I've been done for a couple of issues already.
Same thing. This whole fear state thing. I'm like, but by the same token, on the other side of the spectrum, Moon Knight number 3 and 4, really enjoying that good. Book. Caught up on that, so really enjoying that. It seems fresh to me. Don't know much about Moon Knight.
Well, me
so
too. Yeah, it's really fresh for me too because I'm not as well versed on that character. So I've been enjoying that book too.
Yeah. Yep. And of course, Killadelphia. So still working on that. So all right. That's it for checkout.
Okay.
All right, John. Here we go. Next subject on the list. Real world.
I got a list here, so.
Oh, boy. Here we go. I'll watched try not a lot. To interrupt.
No, it's fine.
I don't have a lot.
I watched quite a bit. First thing is I've been plugging away on Another Life.
Are you done with it yet?
No, I've got 4 episodes left.
I'm ahead of you.
Are you done?
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm not. I have 2 left.
You have 2 left?
I have 2 left.
So good.
So you haven't seen the part that I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh,
yet.
No. I've got 4 left.
Come on, John. What are you taking so long for?
I rewatched Dune.
I was
Dune.
Away.
Otherwise, I'd be done.
I rewatched Dune. I didn't read Dune. Yeah. That's the difference. You read a little bit more than I did.
Great show.
Isn't it?
I'll probably finish it tomorrow. I'll finish it tomorrow.
I'll definitely have it finished by next
today. As we're listening to this show, I'll finish it tonight.
It is so good.
Lydia works late Wednesday nights, and I'll watch the last 4 of that. I've already said it 3 times, but I rewatched Dune. but again, I watched it on a Thursday when Lydia had to work. I was here in the house by myself, cranked it up to reference level and beyond, and just rocked out to Dune.
Yeah.
After recalibrating my system and getting my subs redone. And
how sweet will that be now that you've seen it again, knowing that we have IMAX Enhanced coming sometime?
Yeah,
hopefully
now
HBO Max gets it.
Yeah, I probably won't watch this again until I get the 4K disc. And then I will definitely be watching that. Hopefully it'll come around the same time as my big big screen from my living room, and I'll be able to watch that there.
Oh, I hope it comes before then. Whew. But
I don't know when it comes out on disc, but I'm figuring January or February. So
Yeah.
I won't mention, we're gonna talk about this again later, so I won't mention the Eternals really, but obviously I went to go see the Eternals.
Yep.
I watched Finch on Apple TV. The Tom Hanks movie. And it is literally just the Tom Hanks movie because he is the only one in it. And him and his dog and his robot.
All right.
Did you watch this?
No. And I have a question for you that I put out on Twitter. And
go ahead.
You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. And if anybody doesn't want to know the answer to this question.
Again, it's 3 weeks old. So
it's 3 weeks old. But, and I want the answer.
Okay. I say, if you want the answer, I'll give it to you because I've seen it. So you ain't spoiling anything.
Does the dog die?
Yes.
I will not see it.
Yeah. And it is like heartbreaking.
I will not see it.
When that dog dies.
I will not.
I know.
Uh-oh. John's getting the tap.
My wife's rubbing her belly at the doorway.
And, she's hungry.
She's hungry. I am too.
The universal symbol.
It is.
I will not see it. I will not see it. I will not see it. I said that on Twitter. I go, I won't watch it. People have told me it's a good movie. It's this, that.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm wrong. He doesn't die.
Then what's heartbreaking?
Finch dies.
Oh, he dies.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking back, I'm like, wait a minute. That's not what happened at all. It's the other way around.
Which is just as bad because the dog is left alone.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I won't see it. I hate that. I don't have time for that. It's like emotionally, I'm too.
I'm glad I remember. I was like, I started thinking about it.
You're right.
And I was like,
people
wait a minute.
Are listening, going, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, "That's wait a minute, that's not what happened." But yeah, it was still heartbreaking.
I have a better shot of seeing it now because I did adopt a dog. We adopted a dog that was 14 years old. And
oh, yeah.
He was really old, gray face. She was awesome. But Jen saw her at the vet. And his owner had died. His owner was 85. And he was left alone and nobody wanted him.
Yeah, that's
so. We took him in, and we took him in. The kids were younger. She goes, "It'll be great experience for the kids on death."
Yeah, wow, that's great.
You're really thinking like a mom.
Yeah,
like, the dog lived another 4.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I ended up putting her down on my birthday. Thank you very much.
That sucks.
Yeah, that sucked. But okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I finished season. I watched all of Shameless season 11.
Oh, okay.
I know you've never seen the show. It was the final season.
I'm way behind you on that one.
Yeah, it was the final season. So I can't say too much about it because you've never seen it. It was somewhat satisfying for the end. Actually, I had a change of heart on how I felt about the end of this show. When I initially watched it, I was a little disappointed with the ending of it because it felt like it was too open-ended and there was no real closure. And the next day I was driving to breakfast and I was thinking about the show and how I was actually going to talk about it on this show. And I had a change of heart because I realized that life is open. Like life doesn't have a bow on it. You know what I mean? Like life just is messy and open-ended. And I was like, you know, it just makes sense that like you just know that these characters are just going to continue on.
Right.
And we're just not going to see it. But there was no happy ending or like bow or anything like that. And I was initially frustrated by that. But then when I thought about it the next day, I was like, well, the entire show has been like this for 11 seasons.
Didn't they end Cheers that way?
Remember? They end a lot of shows that way.
Yeah, they ended Cheers with like, you. I remember the finale for that. And you're thinking like, this is going to be great. And certain characters moved on, obviously. Frasier moved. But it was just like, okay. Sam closed the bar and you knew it was going to open the next day.
Right.
Everything was going on in there the same, you know, Norm would be back and all that. But
the thing is, they were building the whole season towards a happy ending. And then they pulled the rug out from under you at the end.
Oh, nice.
And so I was a little let down by that. But then that's life, right? Like crap happens all the time. So the more I think about it now, I think it was a good, like, I'm fine with it. I think it was a good ending. So, nice. I know you'll never watch it because you'll never watch 11 seasons of it, but it was a good show.
Right.
Like it really was good. Let's see. I subscribed to Showtime so I could watch Dexter. And I've watched the first two episodes of Dexter New Blood.
How's that?
And it's really good so far. I'm excited about the potential ending of it as opposed to the end that we got.
Cool.
From 10 years ago. Yeah. And this basically it's 10 years later, like 10 years have passed since we saw him last. And, you know, it's supposed to be just one and done. This is just a one season ending. Yeah. So,
that's what they say.
Like I said, I subscribed to Showtime for 3 months so I could watch this show. And so far, I've liked it. I don't know if you watch Yellowstone, but
no.
Yellowstone started back up. Season 4 started up. There's been 3 episodes. First week had 2, and then this week had 1. So you should watch that show, though. It's really, really good. Kevin Costner is the main guy. So we watched that. Okay, I watched a movie called Iron Mask. This stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jackie Chan. This is in the running for the worst movie I have ever seen.
Ooh.
I cannot recommend it, but it was one of those movies that was so bad that it ended up being kind of fun by the end. Like, it was just so ridiculous.
When was that from?
2019. It's relatively new.
Really?
Yeah.
It's got to be bad.
Iron Mask. It showed up in the home theater groups. People were talking about the Atmos and all that stuff. Now, I will confess that I just watched it free on Hulu, so I didn't have 4K or Atmos or anything like that. And I will not be buying the disc to get it. But
was it like pirates and stuff?
It's no. Well, it's martial arts. It's Asian.
Oh,
yeah. It's martial arts. Asian. You know, kind of Asian martial arts. Follows a guy who's like traveling the Silk Road, doing cartography and map making and things like that. At the end of the day, neither Arnold nor Jackie were the like they weren't the main parts of the story. They were just side characters in it.
Right.
They're just the biggest name characters in the bunch.
Jeez.
But not a great movie. Lydia and I were just like shaking our heads through the whole thing. But we watched it. Like we kept going because it ended up being kind of fun by the end.
Because
it was so
bad. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's fucking
funny. Let's see. Watch Red Notice.
How was that? I haven't seen that yet.
Ryan a little formula, yeah, a little formulaic, but I like all three of them, and right. So I can overlook some of that. Like some of the jokes felt a little forced, felt a little Deadpool-y with Ryan Reynolds. But they're all so damn fun that it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, leave your brain at the door type fun.
Yeah, it was kind of like Six Underground thing, same thing, just really fun. Really, it's a heist movie, you know, really good, but very formulaic and kind of predictable, you know.
Okay.
But super fun. And, you know, it's on Netflix, you know, for you and I, pretty good Atmos and Home Dolby Theater. Vision and yep. all that stuff looked good. Okay. Watched The Mayor of Kingstown, which is a new show by the creator of Yellowstone. It stars Jeremy Renner and Kyle Chandler.
Okay.
And this was also really good. They dropped two episodes, and that's all there's been so far. It's streaming on Paramount Plus. It looks like a lot of fun. Not really fun. It's a kind of a dark and depressing story, really. But Kingstown is a prison town. You know, it's like a population of 40,000, and there's like 20,000 prisoners. It's like the industry is prison. Basically for the town.
Right.
And Kyle Chandler and Jeremy Renner, they're called the mayors, although neither one of them are the actual mayor. They're just called that because they keep things running. They're kind of like the New Bern of the prisons. Like they keep things happening facilitating between people outside the prison and people inside the prison. And it looks like it's going to be really good. The only thing I'll say is don't get too attached to anybody. But it looks like it's going to be a good show, and it's only been two episodes, so you can get caught up really easy. And then last but not least, we watched The Making of Shang-Chi, which
how was that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a making of show, so I mean, there's nothing to break. But yeah, it was good. They're super fun. Like they are. Simu Liu and even Awkwafina. I know you didn't like her from the movie so much. But she's fun. Like they all look, and even the one that played his sister too. I can't think of her name, but it looks like they just had such a great time making that movie. But you know, they talk about his, you know, again, his upbringing and his martial arts training and all of that. And it was good. Yeah. You know, again,
yeah, I'll
like
definitely be checking it out.
If you I'd like the making of, if you like the other ones, it's
not that I don't like Awkwafina the person. I just, her acting.
I know you no I know Ooh. You didn't like I know you didn't like her
style
character.
She has a it's weird that like everything she does is that style that's not right. acting that's,
well it's just her yeah
right
yeah she just plays herself but yeah and that's it that's I mean you know we watched other shows that were just shows but the other thing I wanted to bring up because I know you watched this too and this happened like 3 weeks ago The Morning Show. The big event that happened like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Refresh my memory.
Steve Carell.
Oh yeah.
I was like,
I had to look it up.
I was like, whoa. Okay.
Did they just do that?
They did.
I was like, no, I know. And what was funny is Jen and I were behind on that week, right? So we didn't see it on that. Typically we watch that show on the Friday. We love The Morning Show, right? So it drops on Friday night. We have dinner and watch that.
Right.
And this one particular, I can't remember, we did something on Friday. So, of course, that bumps your schedule around, and we didn't get to it. And I was showing her the theater, and we started watching an episode downstairs in the theater. And I'm like, hey, check out how good the morning show looks and everything. And she's like, oh, wow. So we started, oh, let's go upstairs. And we were behind, but we were like, by the end of that episode, we're like, holy crap. Now, but we had the other episode already. So we're able to go right into it and be like, yeah, they really did it. And I ruined the next episode for myself because I looked it up.
You had to
because
see.
It was a week old. I'm like, did they just do what I think? Yep. And if you watch the second episode, you find out what's
going
on.
Yeah, there's been two since then.
Right.
But
the second episode, it's still kind of ambiguous.
It is, because they're just trying to get confirmation, and you don't know for sure until the end of it, but yeah.
But I read, and after that, I read all the stuff, like, everything that they did on that show was, not everything, the idea of it was all Carell's, a lot of Carell's idea, Yeah, they had an idea, and they, well, it's 3 weeks old, but I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But,
well, I don't either, but again, it's spoilers are 3 weeks old. So you know what? I just to interject, the good thing about the episode you put out last week, Solo, is in the very beginning we said we identified ourselves as a spoiler podcast.
Yeah, I know.
And then we stopped doing that. And I think we need to go back and identify ourselves as a spoiler podcast.
Because you're gonna have to do it another a lot one easier. Else. You're going to have to do another voiceover, things. John.
Yeah. It just makes it a lot easier for us to talk about things.
We had so much fun you doing the last one.
I was like, how far are we fallen from that?
I know. So, I know, because you hate
going
spoiler free.
I do. Because
you hate it.
Yeah.
Hey, we go spoilers at the end, no?
Especially when things are like 3 and 4 weeks old. I get it if it's the next day, but it's been a few weeks. And I don't know
streaming stuff. People haven't
how many people are watching that show.
People haven't seen.
Yeah,
you know, like when we were talking Ted Lasso and stuff, we had a bunch of people say, "Hey, I never heard of that," and then they've started watching. I mean, we weren't early adopters of it, but we were ahead of the curve a little bit.
Yeah,
but just slightly. But yeah. So the only other one you haven't touched on is Foundation.
Yep, watched. I'm caught up.
Are you still enjoying it? Not minding the time jumps and everything? There's not a lot.
Still,
it's not that bad.
Well, I'm still enjoying it because there's like the action's kind of really picked up the last couple of episodes. And I like what's going on right now with Brother Day, I guess. Dawn. And that whole thing that's going, that whole storyline that's going on there, I thought was really good.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure the other one you're going to say is Invasion.
Invasion, I am one behind on that one.
Oh, okay. Because this week's episode of Invasion is what everybody has wanted.
What they've wanted, right. They're finally getting to. But everybody the show, though.
I do, too.
Story.
I think the show is great. But everybody that's been complaining, this is the episode that you wanted.
Right.
And hopefully you stuck. Hopefully
and
they
what's
stuck
that?
With it.
That's like week it's 8, isn't it?
Episode
is it 6? Okay.
Yeah. It's called Home Invasion, and it's
Home Invasion.
Very, very good. Yeah.
All right. Let's we'll touch more on that next week when I'm all caught up. Foundation will be over next week.
It will. There's only one left.
So maybe we can do a Kryptonite on the end of that as well next week. But let's wrap that up for this week because we just got to get to a little bit of Kryptonite on Eternals.
Yeah.
And then we can call it a week because it's still, we're still under the 3 hour mark, John. So let's move this along. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for being kind last week to us. We'll try not to let that happen again. There will be a podcast shortage coming up soon. First week of December, I am away. I have something that I can't wait to tell you guys about. John knows what it is, but it's very exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun for this podcast too, I think. So there won't be a live podcast that week, but.
Okay. And we've got holidays. I've got my Christmas break coming up soon.
There you go.
At the end of the December.
Oh yeah. So. You always take that on. And then I do something with my daughter. Yeah, that's bright. So we'll see.
We'll have a couple as we'll through the holidays. Something. Yeah.
Yep. Alrighty. Sounds good. Thanks everybody for listening. Tune into Nerdy Legion. Go to nerdylegion.com. Check out everything over there. But in the meantime, hey, just have a great week, everybody.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. All right, John. You ready for this?
I am.
All right, let's talk as fast as we can about Eternals.
Yeah, like I said, my wife's giving me the
old belly rub.
The old belly rub, yeah. She's hungry.
That sounds weird.
I'm hungry, too. I wish she was giving me a belly rub, honestly, but she's rubbing her own belly. It's not the same.
I know. It's either she's hungry or pregnant.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it's the former.
Yeah.
Because if it's the latter, we're in trouble.
Oh. What do you got, a mouse in your pocket? I'm fine.
Yeah.
That's why I'm way up here. Don't look at me. It wasn't my fault. I'm way up here. Oh, did we just lock the door? I don't know.
We did.
Yes. We did? Okay, good.
Yep.
Phew. Don't want anybody hearing that. That shouldn't be hearing that.
I know, right?
All right. Eternals.
Yeah.
As much as spoiler-free as we can possibly do, or spoilers that we can do, sorry. I don't know what you would want to take out. And I know you said it's like you don't have any anything in particular off the top of your head.
Well, again, I just can't remember because it was two weeks ago. But
right. But was there a time when you were like, I wish they, you know, did you look at your watch? Were you like looking
not
at
really.
Your phone?
I just kind of felt like some of the flashbacks, like when the Babylon stuff and. A couple of the things going back, I just kind of felt like they could have. We didn't need all of them, you know.
Right.
Like we had established that they had been on Earth for 10,000 years or three, whatever it was. But I just felt like, again, it didn't feel like they didn't bother me, or like it didn't feel like. Yeah, I wasn't looking at my watch or board or anything.
Right,
but
I felt engaged the entire time.
They could have tightened it up a little bit if they wanted to. Like nobody's asking them to, so it doesn't matter, right? Like it can be as long as they want it to be. But like there was definitely things in there that they could have cut it to, you know, 220 if they needed to, you know, and not. I think they could have done it without really affecting the story.
Right.
And so, to me, if there's anything you can take out without affecting the story, then it doesn't always have to be there.
Okay.
So, but, like you're saying, like, I'm not going anyplace, so
right.
it doesn't have to be short. Like, I'm not asking for it to be shorter.
Right.
But, you know, there's, I just, like I said, there's always a little, this is a little fat in anything. You know, you can always take something out of any movie, really, or show. So
right. All right. Well,
that's all I meant. Like I said, yeah. No particular scene comes to mind. Or
well, let me
like
ask
that,
you this so. Then, because this is a couple weeks old. You can go all over the internet and hear people break the movie down.
Oh yeah. But, well, and we're in spoilers.
And we're in spoilers. So we get the premise of the movie. We know everybody listening right now knows the entire story arc. Who's the bad guy here? Because I'm putting it to you that is Robb Stark really the bad guy? Like he's the one actually doing what they were told to do. And you know who I mean by Icarus.
Icarus.
Robb Stark. But he's actually following the orders or what they were programmed to do or what there's everybody else. Isn't that kind of weird? Like the Eternals were there, like for all intents and purposes, the Earth is an egg.
Right.
That's its sole purpose was to grow that celestial.
Right.
Right. And they screwed it up.
Yeah.
So who's the bad guy? When you look at it that way.
Well, no, I mean, you can look at it anyway. There isn't an inherent bad guy in the whole thing.
I know.
Even Arishem, right? The Celestial. I mean, this is how it's done, right? Like that's their be, their mission is to birth Celestials.
Right.
And universes and all of that. So, yes, there's casualties in their plan, but their motivations aren't evil or bad. They're birthing Celestials, and this is what it takes to do that.
But then birthing Celestials brings more life.
Right.
Right?
Right. And that's so, what I mean. It's so...
I mean, it sounds heartless, but let's look at it on the grander scale of the... I don't know what's above trillions of lives that have been created because of this process.
It's big picture. It's big picture things. But, right. You know, so yes, in the end, Icarus isn't technically the bad guy. He's
just doing what he's
on mission.
Told. Yeah. Right. That's...
Well, and not even what he was told, but what he's made to do.
Right.
Like he's literally bred
his
and
sole
made
purpose.
To do that. Right. You know, but the other Eternals, they're not bad guys either because they've grown attached and grown.
They're almost like defects.
Right. So it's there's no in the traditional sense. I don't think there is a bad guy. There's a bad outcome. And obviously you're rooting for Cersei and the other Celestials because we're humans of Earth and
right.
we don't want our planet to be destroyed. But. You know, you could argue that what they did was selfish and the wrong thing.
Right.
Because, you know, what? How many lives don't get to be born or, you
yeah.
know, are snuffed out because of what they did? So it's a conundrum, but it was interesting. Like, that's
yeah,
the whole
that's
thing.
What I liked about it.
It's like, you know, what is the right answer? You know, like, from my perspective as a human, I don't want the planet to be destroyed, but big picture, it's like, you know, we're insignificant to to the universes, and so...
So imagine a bunch of bacteria living on the outside of an egg with a chicken inside it.
Right.
The chicken hatches, all that bacteria gets destroyed, and it's like, but we got a chicken.
Right.
You know, so it's like, that's kind of what is going on here. It's like, we are literally the bacteria on the egg of Earth, and it's like, but of course they make the Celestial like the six eyes or whatever it has, it looks evil, right. But it grows and then it grows more galaxies or universe, I can't remember exactly right. how it
well,
works
yeah,
but
it, yeah,
life
create,
comes forth from that
yeah, they create universes
and they say that and they say that to each other, they're like, yeah, but we're saving these lives but we're losing like tenfold
right.
by doing that. And they're like, but which is it? And they're like, and it's like,
yeah.
And even the story about like what Thanos did with the snap of the fingers, they cut like half of the planet died. Right. But they, the way they germinate or grow the Celestial is with the intelligence of the planet. Right.
Right.
And by cutting it in half, it didn't stop their process. That's
but
why they didn't
it.
Have to stop. It just slowed the progress.
It. Right.
Didn't mean it wasn't going to happen. And you've been here for 7,000 years. What's a few more?
Right.
You know, the intelligence.
Especially since most of them didn't know the mission anyways. Only Icarus and Selma, I can't remember her name.
Ajak.
Only they knew the mission anyways.
Right.
The rest of them were just going along. Like, they didn't realize
there
was a ticking clock. Like, they just figured they were going to be there forever, you know?
Right.
And so... It's not like they were actually waiting for anything to happen. They didn't even know. So.
I thought it was great, that part where Ajax, Salma Hayek, says to Angelina Jolie, like, I can wipe your memory. Because remember, Angelina Jolie, Athena.
Yeah, she's
not
Athena.
Athena.
Yeah, Athena, right.
Athena has that whole, she's gone crazy because she has the memories are coming back.
Right.
And she's going, like, she's literally going mad over it. But what it is it's like she's actually drawing on memories that have already been erased.
Right. She's...
Right? But Salma Hayek's character, Ajak, is like, no, I can erase that. And everybody in the group's like, no, she'll stop being her. And but Ajak can't say, like, no, we've all had this done already.
right. It won't be the first time.
And at that point of the movie, you don't know that yet.
Right.
But then when you find that out, you're like, there's a bunch of layers to this movie and information in this movie that I think is going to be a lot of fun. I haven't had a chance to see it a second time. I'm looking forward
either.
To Disney Plus. But being able to get that again, I think there's just so many layers. And the other part is, doesn't this make almost like the Avengers and like obsolete? Like, what would Thanos do here? Which I know Thanos is kind of related to them, isn't he?
Well, Thanos is a Titan. He's not a celestial.
No, but I thought, aren't they in that part of that tree? That's why they live so long and stuff, or something like that?
Well, you know, jumping to the mid-credit scene, I mean, we get Star right. Fox, who's Thanos' brother, and he's a celestial, I think. So yeah. Maybe. Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure
They're all part of the thing. But yeah. What I'm saying is like, think of like, what's Captain America and Thor going to do about something like that, one of these issues?
Right.
Nothing. Absolutely not. You know, the Eternals, this movie, they just prevented something that would have made the snap of a finger seem like, you know, nothing. Like, right. Everything's gone. It's just wiped out from existence. And it's these people in this issue is almost like above and beyond what we've had in the MCU so far, like so far and above.
Well, yeah, it raised the level for sure. Again, to a cosmic level, which, you know, the scale is bigger, you know.
Right. Almost.
Yes, I mean, what Thanos did was huge, but, well, yeah, it depends on where they fit in and what they do going forward. Like, yes, like, you can't bring, well, even, what is it, Sam Wilson now, but you can't bring Captain America in to fight this battle, right? Like, no. He's not on that level.
You need more than a shield.
But you can't have everything that happens in the movies going forward be this big. You
right.
know? Like, there still has to be place for others, you know, again, for smaller stories, I guess. But it's definitely expanding. Well, and it really expanded the mythology. Like, this was very religious
yep.
in a way that we've never had really religion or that stuff brought into the MCU before. But
well,
like, this
explains religion.
Well, but it also challenges your beliefs. Like, if you're right. Catholic, like, you don't accept this, right? Like,
right. What, like, where did they get these stories from? Oh, here's right. you know, like, that's why they said the whole Thena and Athena thing. It's right. like all of this stuff, Icarus.
Right, they're the Duh. Basis for all the legends and all the mythology and all that. But
do you think,
like,
Icarus
that goes
is dead?
Against?
Quick, I know it's a. Quick question, but do you think he's dead? Just because he flew into a sun? I don't think he's dead.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure he could survive that.
He might be able to, but I don't know if he wanted to. But he's only dead if, like, they don't need him for the sequel. Yeah,
right.
They don't need him, so.
If he doesn't sign the contract.
Right.
But yeah, I almost think, like, they did. I loved how grand of a scale this is, but it's almost
big,
in a
yeah.
way, like, it's almost too big, makes everything else right. like, bring in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh wait, these right. people can just destroy the galaxy.
Well, that's the whole thing, but, like, they're not all there anymore, right? Like,
right.
they've left, you know. Icarus is gone, Ajax is gone, you know. Some of them are in the ship, they're going into space. And then, you know, so, like, they're not going to be there to solve the problems. And that's how you get around that for the other movies. Because right. otherwise, yeah, you could just say, oh, well, just call Cersei or whatever, and we can just handle this and go back to bed, you know? But they're not going to be there for all of that, so.
Right. Yep. All right. What'd you think of the end credit scene with... Dane Whitman.
Well,
Kit Harington.
Yeah, I mean, you know that's going to happen. Like, you know it was coming because we all knew that he was going to be the Black Knight. And, you know, they did mention the Ebony Blade earlier in the movie. What I didn't realize, and somebody had to tell me, was that, do you know who the voice was?
I knew it immediately as I heard it. I knew it right away. I'm like, they threw Blade in there.
But it doesn't make sense.
I didn't,
like,
say
it doesn't make sense,
but I knew it Mahershala
well, right,
Ali. I'm like,
I thought it was Sam Jackson's voice, and which would make sense in an Avengers connection. And then Lydia said she thought it was Doctor Strange. She thought it was Cumberbatch. No. And I was like, well, that makes even more sense because of the mystic part of it. Yep. And then when they told me it was Blade, I was like, okay, but where does he fit in?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't fit at all into any of that, so I don't understand it.
Doesn't mean it can't be that in the MCU, well, though. You
obviously
know?
It was, because they've confirmed right. that it was. So I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying it doesn't fit. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me why it would be Blade.
I knew right away, I was sitting in the, I'm like, that's Mahershala, and I'm like, I had to do the math in my head, quote unquote math, but I'm like, that's Mahershala Ali. I'm like, and he's playing Blade. Like, I didn't know it was Blade right away, but I, like, as I'm listening to the scene, I'm like working it out in my head, and I'm like, that's, he's Blade.
I wouldn't have recognized his voice if you told me. Like,
see, I do, because I know him from House of Cards.
Oh, see.
And I loved him in House of Cards, so I know his voice. That's what I was saying. Really, I wouldn't have really
known him. I mean, I've seen him in a couple things, but I don't know him well enough that I can pick his voice out.
He's got a very distinct voice, though, when you, if you've only seen him in a couple, but like watching him in House of, and he has, it's like a deep voice with, I don't know about an accent, but just the way he talks, it's very distinct. And as soon as I heard it, I knew right away, but that's from watching, you know, season after season of House of Cards, and he was great in that show. But yeah, I was like, I don't get the tie-in either, but I knew that's who it was. And I'm like, psyched. What I liked about it is, like, I'm hoping that means we're getting them sooner rather than later. We're getting that whole crossover thing sooner rather than later. Like, does Blade show up in that? Does he show up?
Well, I know they're working on Blade, but I don't know where he fits in either. I don't know. Like I said, it's interesting. And like you said, it wasn't unexpected at all, because we knew that he was going to be Black Knight. I was more taken with the mid-credit scene, because I was struggling to remember another mid-credit scene where they just flat out introduced a new character. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of another one where they've done that.
A mid-credits?
I mean, they had the whole thing with Adam Warlock in Guardians, but even that wasn't even a full character. Like, this was a straight up, like, here's Star Fox, you know what I mean? Like, I was kind of taken with that, because I don't think they've ever done that. But I'm super, I mean, again, he's a character that, like, he's not super well-known, and he's not even on my list of favorite characters, but I was still super excited to see that, because I was like, oh, that's really cool that they did this. But
I don't know much about them, but I've read, like, how they're going to tie it all in and everything, and how, where this means it could be going, which I think is super interesting. But I didn't know much about them, but it was a weird mid. It was probably the most elaborate mid-credit scene. Usually,
well, that's
what I'm
saying. You don't usually get that much, and like I said, you don't really get a big full introduction like that. So,
that was
pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Usually, you get him appearing, and then they go right back to the credits, and you go, "Who was that? What was that?" It's like, the only thing he didn't have on was "Hello, my name is" badge.
Right, like, he literally introduced himself. Like, he was right there. So
yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, is that it?
I think so. Yeah, because I gotta run.
you're getting the belly rub.
Yep.
All right, that'll do it for this week. 3-hour show again.
Yeah,
almost. So, all right, we'll be back next week with more.
All
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Take care.